The income tax thresholds?
I know that maintaining these thresholds is a decision that will affect working people. I said that last year, and I won't pretend otherwise now. I am asking everyone to make a contribution.
And from Benefit Street to Quality Street.
Last year, we had the horrors of the Halloween budget. This year, it's the nightmare before Christmas. And as for her, she's the unwelcome Christmas guest, 10 minutes through the door, and she's eaten all the Quality Street, Madam Deputy Speaker.
Leader of the Conservative Party, Kemi Badenoch, with some real passion in her belly there. I'll be asking, is this actually a budget that punishes alarm clock Britain as those on benefits stand to get more cash? And the Chancellor will join us later in the hour. Full analysis. In other news...
The Department of Homeland Security is confident that the suspect in custody is a foreigner who entered our country from Afghanistan, a hellhole on earth.
This is as two National Guardsmen are still in critical condition after being shot near the White House. Staying with President Trump, he's using insulting slurs against a female reporter, calling her a hit piece with creepy health rumours. And on the subject of health, the news that Elton John might be going blind. News on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, the Chancellor has urged Labour MPs to defend her budget, saying they should be prepared for attacks from all sides. Measures announced yesterday include raising taxes by £26 billion and a freeze on income tax thresholds. It means 1.7 million people will find themselves paying more. Speaking to LBC, the Chief Secretary to the Treasury, James Murray, denied that Labour has broken its manifesto promise on tax.
It doesn't. We will keep taxes on working people as low as possible. And if you look at what Rachel set out in her budget, she set out how we're asking everyone to make a contribution. We're being very upfront about that. But we're keeping that contribution on working people as low as possible, thanks to the other tax decisions that we're taking.
Other headline budget announcements included the scrapping of the two-child benefit cap. Despite being welcomed by welfare campaigners and Labour MPs, polling suggests it may not be popular with voters. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, has told LBC that her party would reverse the measure.
If we take the arguments to the logical conclusion that the government should just pay for anything and everything as long as people feel it's necessary, we will all be bankrupt. They are taxing other people to pay more benefits. Other people are going to be pushed into poverty to pay for benefits for others. I don't think that's fair.
The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, will be speaking live with Nick Ferrari at breakfast here on LBC later this morning. In other news, the United States has stopped processing immigration requests from Afghan nationals after two National Guard soldiers were shot in Washington, D.C. The victims are in a critical condition. President Trump says his officials are confident the suspected attacker, who's been detained, entered the U.S. from Afghanistan in 2021. Firefighters in Hong Kong have worked through the night at the scene of a massive fire after a series of fires in high-rise flats. At least 44 people have died. Almost 300 others are missing in the Tai Po district. And Arsenal at top of the Champions League standings after a 3-1 win at home to Bayern Munich. Liverpool were hammered 4-1 at Anfield by PSV Eindhoven. Tottenham lost 5-3 away at holders PSG. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 96.91. It closed up 82 yesterday. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.14. LBC weather. Outbreaks of rain across northern and western areas throughout today. Cloudy but dry elsewhere. Another mild day. A high of 13 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hey, is your wardrobe Christmas ready? At Two, we've got you covered with 20% off everything until the 29th of November. Feel festive with our cozy knits and matching pyjamas. And not forgetting our head-turning party wear. From elegant sequins to luxe velvet, we've got everything you need to make an entrance this season. Shop online at 2.co.uk or in-store at Sainsbury's. Two works every time. T's and C's apply, subject to availability. Delivery charges may apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after seven, Thursday, November the 27th, the day after the budget. High welfare, high tax, hi-ho with no silver lining. That seems to be the reality, and this is what you're saying around the country.
The only way is Essex, or is it, after the Chancellor delivered her budget yesterday? I'm LBC's Shivani Sharma at the Brentwood Hairdresser, finding out.
And I'm LBC's Liam Gotting in Prestbury, finding out what the real Housewives of Cheshire made of the budget.
And after we've heard your verdicts, and indeed we'll hear from the Chancellor herself later in this hour, and the Shadow Chancellor later in the show, we need a fair verdict, a proper referee.
The Chancellor delivered a budget with a string of tax raises, but has she committed foul play? I'm Nigel Owens, former International Rugby Union referee, and I'll be speaking to Nick later in the show.
Yellow card, red card, or it's green light for go. You'll hear from Nigel later in the show. In other news, to Washington, two National Guardsmen in critical condition after being shot near the White House. A suspect of Afghanistan origin is in custody. We'll give you more details on that. Staying with Donald Trump, he's gone after another female reporter again with rather nasty slurs. We'll give you full details. And sad news regarding one of our greatest musical superstars. Blind, but I can still feel the love from friends, says Sir Elton John. We'll have more on that later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
However they try and present the after effects, the aftermath of the budget, there is one number that jumps out of you. One in four workers will pay more. Simple as that. Meanwhile, if you are on welfare, if you're on Benefit Street, as you're called, if you're not part of Alarm Clock Britain, more cash would be seeming to come your way. Here with the full story from yesterday, including the extraordinary... It's been a pretty error-strewn pre-budget as it was, but we really did have the crowning cherry on the top of this pile with the announcement of those figures prior, about 45 minutes prior to the budget. Here with the full story, LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark. Natasha, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, it's been a summer, an autumn of leaks. What's one more, hey? So, usually the most boring, pointless PMQs of the year. But, Nick, as you say, it began with the news. There had been a huge leak of the budget documents on the Office for Budget Responsibility's website. 2 hours early, a jaw-dropping moment for Westminster. The meat without the spin, as one reporter told me yesterday, giving us all a bit of a head start on the tax raises that we knew were coming. Rachel Reeves stood up in the Commons and just an hour or so later to tell us all that we needed to pay a little bit more.
I know that maintaining these thresholds is a decision that will affect working people. I said that last year and I won't pretend otherwise now. Madam Deputy Speaker, I am asking everyone to make a contribution.
There were giveaways on energy bills, the minimum wage, help for entrepreneurs, more for nuclear energy. But the real cheer, Nick, from MPs was the U-turn on scrapping the two-child benefit cap.
I can announce today, fully costed and fully funded, the removal of the two-child limit in full from April. We are lifting 450,000 children out of poverty with the end of the two-child limit.
And then, of course, came the takeaways. £26 billion more tax rises. The third biggest tax-raising budget in modern times. That's according to the OBR. A slew of measures across the board. Income tax thresholds frozen for another 3 years. A raid on pensions and ISA allowances. Tax on electric cars. Pay-per-mile schemes. Booze duties up. Gambling duties. Mansion tax. Landlord's tax. And, of course, Nick, there's going to be much more in that document that we just haven't found yet. Reeves insisted she was stabilising the finances. She gave herself headroom of £22 billion spare. So hopefully she never has to do this again. Raising the tax take to 38% of GDP, that's another new high. But already by the end of the day, Nick, she was facing accusations she had broken the spirit, if not the letter, of Labour's manifesto not to raise taxes on working people. The leader of the opposition, Kemi Badenoch, said this was a budget taking from workers to give to Benefit Street.
That smorgasbord of misery we just heard from her can be summed up in one sentence. Labour are hiking taxes to pay for welfare. Yeah. This is a budget for Benefit Street, Madam Deputy Speaker, paid for by working people.
But Nick, looking at the detail of this, I think this was a budget for the markets and for MPs. Last night, many of them pretty happy with how things have gone. Of course, there's still a lot of detail in the budget still to go through. Businesses, charities still looking about what it means for all of us. Now the Prime Minister, Chancellor all have to go out and sell it. I think it may have bought the pair of them more time with their own party, but it won't have done anything to increase their chances of winning the next election.
LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, reporting 9 minutes after seven. Let's get to a leading economist for his take on it. Dr. Gerard Lyons is chief economic strategist at Net Wealth. Dr. Lyons, it's being portrayed as a budget for Benefit Street paid for by Alarm Clock Britain. How fair a portrayal is that in your view? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I would use one word to describe the budget, but I would use it three times. Bad, bad, bad.
Right.
I thought the budget was bad for the public finances, bad for the economic outlook, and bad for the incentives it embeds. What it laid clear is that Britain is a high public spending, high taxation, high borrowing economy, and has no appetite to reform. Now, that being said, the markets were quite relieved yesterday afternoon, and the markets were relieved for two reasons. One, because despite all the leaks and misleading information in recent weeks, the fiscal gap, the black hole, was not as bad as feared. And second, the Chancellor, by raising taxes, has increased her fiscal headroom. That's her buffer. And she increased that from £9.9 billion to £21.7 billion. So that reduces the possibility of being in this Groundhog Day this time next year. But despite all that, beneath the surface, in the markets, people are worried about the direction of travel for public spending.
If you had the opportunity to challenge the Chancellor, what point or 2 points would you make, Doctor?
Well, budgets are normally a combination of politics, economics and finance. The budget before a general election is naturally driven by politics. But the first or second budget after an election has always been, in the post-budget, post-war era, driven by economics and finance. You outline your economic vision or you get the public finances back into shape. In neither of her budgets has the Chancellor outlined an economic vision or got the public finances back into shape. This is a budget, as last year, driven by politics. It leaves the UK economy very vulnerable. We're a low growth, low productivity economy. We're vulnerable to shocks. The public finances are not in great shape, and it won't take much to knock them off course.
Dr. Lyons, thank you for your time. Gerard Lyons, your chief economic strategist at Net Wealth. So how do you feel about the Chancellor's budget? Well, obviously, I'll take your calls in a moment, and I remind you the Chancellor herself is with us later in the hour. But we decided to send LBC's North West reporter Liam Gotting to get alongside the real Housewives of Cheshire.
I married a footballer. I live in a fairly big house. I'd say it's worked out well.
I have my dream body, dream man, career. I've got it all.
This is how the lives of real Cheshire housewives are portrayed to us through our TVs. But does life look like that at the moment for those who don't feature in the show?
It's gone from that perception where people really were aspirational. They wanted to get wealth. Now it's just changed. There's a real feeling of austerity.
That's Penny Davies, a local mum and successful cosmetics entrepreneur near Wilmslow.
Our mentality and that of our friends in business is get through the end of this government until we can get a better government in. This government is only interested in punishing aspirational people. That is how it feels. Yeah. Business owners are punished and squeezed. The middle classes are squeezed.
Julie Harrison, who runs multiple manufacturing companies, also believes local businesses have been hit hard.
We're not employing people at the moment, even though we need them. You're using agencies because actually, yes, it's sort of more expensive, but you haven't got the responsibility of all the other stuff that goes along with employing people. It's tough. You know, you're putting taxes up, contributions up. There's a huge impact there on small businesses.
Both Julie and Penny concede they and their families have had to tighten their belts.
We would eat out a lot. Lunches are at least once or twice a week. We'd go out for dinner and get a bottle of wine and we'd relax and we just don't.
I think I'm more savvy with shopping. I'll go to the likes of Aldi. I'm looking and researching, you know, where's the best place to go. I found a great bottle of wine for £7 now as opposed to my £20 bottle of wine.
Welcome to the village of Prestbury, one of the corners of what's known as the Cheshire Golden Triangle, a five-mile area between here, the village of Alderley Edge, and the town of Wilmslow. It's home to many footballers, celebrities and entrepreneurs, but locals' concerns go beyond the so-called mansion tax.
I mean, look, there's 10 million plus people on sick. Sick of what? And they're getting paid for it.
Definitely the immigration. So many people coming into the country that we don't even know their backgrounds. I would like that to be tackled.
If they raise the child benefit cap, that's unfair for people that are working very hard and they're not receiving any benefits.
Is there anything you and your husband or your family particularly have to give it up because of cost of living over the last few years?
Our children were in private education, so we're having to obviously find that extra cash.
It's clear then that for the real housewives of Cheshire, there is more work for the Chancellor and her colleagues to do to win their support.
LBC's Liam Gotting reporting with the real housewives of Cheshire after the news.
The only way is Essex, or is it, after the Chancellor delivered her budget yesterday? I'm LBC's Shivani Sharma at the Brentwood Hairdresser finding out.
Plus, in London, what do Arsenal fans make of the work from their, of course, colleague, Sir Keir Starmer?
I'm Felix, a small business owner and Arsenal season ticket holder. I support the same team as Sir Keir Starmer, but find out if I support his policies.
Chancellor later in the hour, and in the next hour, the extraordinary story of the former Marine who deliberately drove into fans at Liverpool's title parade after losing his temper. We'll have more on that later in the show. 7:15, LBC News headlines now, read by Dominic Ellis.
The Chancellor is facing further questions after being accused of delivering a manifesto-busting budget. Two members of the National Guard are in a critical condition after being shot near the White House in Washington. And firefighters in Hong Kong remain at the scene of a massive fire which tore through a series of high-rise flats. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the M1 southbound to Junction 10 at Luton Airport. It was after a car broke down earlier. It's actually just been recovered, but it's still very slow. On the M25, anti-clockwise, the exit slip road at Junction 12 to the M3 southbound is closed. It's because a van was on fire. There are lengthy delays back onto the M25 from Junction 13 at Staines. In Holborn, Southampton Row remains closed both ways because of the fire that happened yesterday. The emergency works are still taking place. On the trains, Chiltern Railways aren't running between Marylebone and West Ruislip, and Great Western Railway aren't running between West Ealing and Greenford following a signal failure.
This is LBC.
Season's greetings, festive humans. It's me, a National Lottery scratch card. In case you haven't noticed, it's nearly Christmas, and I am a genuinely brilliant little present, like a surprise extra gift. Ooh. You can put me in a card, or hide me in a stocking. I'll even roll up and fit inside a cracker if that's what you're into. And I could win them some money. Imagine that. Not such a little gift after all.
Buy a National Lottery scratch card and add some play to Christmas. Gift responsibly. Rules apply. 18 plus.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like. From real Octopus Energy calls.
The people are friendly on the telephone. You can always get a problem solved.
You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
The customer service is really good.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
Your customer service was tip-top. You know, I couldn't fault it.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad! Squealed Mia Mouse. We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with 3 tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
18 minutes after 7. Quickly look at the front page of the newspapers. You can guess what the main story is. And the review of the headlines on one side of the Thence, as it were, you have the Daily Mail, spiteful raids on Shrivers to lavish billions on Benefit Street, the Daily Telegraph, a red box of broken promises, or the Daily Express, a budget for Benefit Street paid for by working people. Meanwhile, the Daily Mirror says it's budget with a Labour heart, and the Guardian simply has a picture of the Chancellor on the front page with her quotes, "I'm asking everyone to make a contribution." Really? What about those on welfare who've just had a pay rise? How are they joining in? Chancellor joins us later in the show. On the LBC app, Reeves sets Britain on path to highest ever tax burden with a £26 billion tax raid. And it's a similar theme picked up by The Independent online as well. Millions more to pay high income tax. Reeves puts squeeze on the middle classes. Well, before the news, we went off to see The Real Housewives of Essex. Now the only way... Sorry, The Real Housewives of Cheshire, and now the only way is Essex. LBC's reporter for the East of England, Shivani Sharma, sat down with the owner of the Brentwood Hairdresser to get his live reaction to the budget, along with customers and local residents.
I love it, honey.
The only way is up. The only way is Essex. Or is it for independent hair salons like the Brentwood Hairdresser?
Hello, Rob. Lovely to meet you. Shivani, how
are
you doing?
Rob McGowan is the owner of the Brentwood Hairdresser. He's been in the business for 30 years. And we sat down together in his salon to get his immediate reaction to the Chancellor's long-awaited budget.
I find that to be really quite irritating.
With the Chancellor announcing an increase in the living wage, the minimum wage and the apprenticeship wage, for Rob, that means cutting jobs, hours and services.
Even my teenage daughter, who will shortly turn 18 and will benefit massively from an increased wage, understood that if there were four people her age in a position, the additional income that an employer would have to find could only be found by letting one of those four people go to spread the cost of that wage across the three remaining staff.
There was a small sigh of relief from Rob that the revenue threshold for businesses paying VAT wasn't lowered. And so that's one burden he hasn't been dragged up into. But amongst customers and residents in Brentwood, there didn't seem to be much of a sigh of relief at all.
Very disappointed with the people that thought by voting Labour they would everything would get better when they're just making it a lot worse. There's too many people in the country, there's not enough doctors, there's not enough nurses, there's not enough dentists. What have they done to help that? Nothing.
There's a lot of people on benefits who shouldn't be on benefits.
I just think this country is crumbling from the core. I'm really sorry to say it, but I really do.
When the government's saying we're pro-working people, we're pro-business, what do you make of that?
They're the opposite. Definitely the opposite. They're not for us anymore. Definitely not.
The picture for businesses and working people here in Brentwood was that they needed a lifeline in this budget. And by and large, that's not something they feel they got yesterday.
She's clearly had her hair done. I would like to think that whoever did it for her used that opportunity to try to drum home how difficult it is running a hair salon in the present day. I would love her to be in my chair.
LBC's Shivani Sharma reporting, and thank you to the hairdresser in Brentwood there. So, at 7.22, let's go to more reaction, and imagine being, as the commentariat is saying, a small business holder, small businessman or woman, because they are apparently the ones who are bearing the brunt. So what is it like if you are one, and you happen to be a supporter of Arsenal, which of course is the beloved passion of the Prime Minister? Let's bring into the conversation Felix Atkin. Felix is the founder of Sharesy, is an Arsenal season ticket holder, and sometimes sat near Sakir at the Emirates Stadium, and joins me now. Okay, if I may call you Felix, what's Sharesy in a snappy sentence? What do you provide for or offer? Good morning.
Good morning. Sharesy is a venue hire platform for community spaces. So we work with schools and community centres, places of worship, to help them rent out their spaces and generate some additional income.
Good luck with what you're doing. You are a small business person. How do you react to this government so far? How do you react to yesterday?
For entrepreneurs, actually, overall, I don't think it's been too bad. There has been some stability for early stage investment. EIS and SEIS has been protected. Certainly, it could have gone further. For our customers, who are those community venues, Some of those will benefit from business rates relief. Some of those are already fully exempt, but those that aren't, I think, would benefit from that, like private nurseries and small studios, multi-use spaces on the high street and so on. So not all bad.
Where would you like to have seen her go further, Felix?
The rising labour costs inevitably will hurt some of those smaller businesses. So it would have been good to see some additional benefits. You know, the national insurance thresholds are already hurting SMEs. So maybe going a little bit further there to help small businesses. For early stage founders, again, that could have gone further. The EMI changes mainly benefit scale-ups, not startups. So it would have been good to see more support for early revenue businesses.
Lastly, when you speak with your clients or customers, what's the biggest, often quoted, the biggest hurdle they face?
Well, for our for the venues that we're supporting, you know, they need local people to be booking with them. That means that people need to have a bit of an expendable income. They need to be willing to spend and come out of their homes. So I think there's just generally a bit of nervousness that, you know, they're not going to have the sort of budget to spend. But overall, I think people are feeling a little bit more positive.
Are Arsenal going to win the Premier League?
I'd like to say yes.
Why are all Arsenal fans always, as one, so nervous of ever suggesting victory? Felix Atkin, thank you. Good luck with the business. Shezi, you're an Arsenal season ticket holder, as is Sakir. 7:25. You may recall yesterday, towards the end of the show, we took a call from Livy in St Albans. Livy's a young woman in her early 20s working in the field of campaigning. And she thought the government wasn't looking out for enough for young people and also floated the idea of some kind of wealth tax. And very kindly, she said we could call her afterwards. Thank you for coming on, Livy. OK, trying to get off and on your way in the field of work and possibly one day owning a home. What do you take from yesterday? Morning again.
Morning. What struck me is this sheer disconnect between the budget and the reality that my generation is facing. We know that we're in a deep social and economic crisis, but the most significant revenue-raising measure in there is this, essentially a stealth tax, so freezing income tax threshold. It's essentially the reason that I'm 22, I work two jobs, and I can't afford rent, and this budget simply deepens the sense that young people, my generation, is being asked to absorb the cost of this broken system whilst this extreme wealth is left untouched.
We touched on this briefly yesterday. Were the Chancellor here, she might talk about the increase in the national living wage. She'd certainly talk about lifting the two-child benefit cap and helping people like that. How would you respond to those measures?
Oh, those are things I would welcome, but they're not the kind of major structural changes that we need to see.
And those were, just remind the listeners, what you were hoping for, lastly, Livy.
Yeah, I mean, we need to see proper radical change in this country. It's something like a wealth tax of assets over £10 million, a 2% tax would raise £24 billion for our public services and shift that burden onto those with the broader shoulders.
Livy, I don't know when we'll see again, but thanks for yesterday, thanks for today. Have yourself a good week, what's left of it. 7:27. Let's get more of your reactions. Louise in Shots. Louise, what you heard yesterday, your reaction to it. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. Thanks for taking my call. This is an absolute disastrous budget. I mean, like, we're now on, like, the 27th of November. We're supposed to be in the season of ho, ho, ho. Mm-hmm. But all I can think of is no, no, no. You know?
I like the way that was set up. Well done. Yeah, go on.
Like, basically, so I heard on the radio, like, the Labour MPs might be rejoicing right now, right? But that joy is going to be really short-lived because these politicians are going to be booted out of office at the earliest opportunity.
But, Louise, why wouldn't you want to lift 400,000, maybe more, children, 450,000 out of poverty, is what Labour would say.
Okay, so that is an aspiration to do that, and it is a definitely good thing to do that, right? But why attack, you know, people's private pensions or like the sway the measures that were announced in the budget yesterday, you know, like, so hardworking people are basically being taxed to death in order to pay for this with no reforms at all.
Louise, thank you. Ho, ho, ho. No, no, no. I like that. You should be a headline writer. Andrew in Halifax, your take on yesterday. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Nick. Well, it's a disaster. She knows it's a disaster, but this party no longer cares because all it's bothered about is shoring up its core voter bases.
And how is it done? Are you talking again about the two-child cap? Is that what you're saying there?
Well, yes. And of course, as we know, immigrant communities in this country tend to have more children, so they'll be the biggest beneficiaries of this. And people like me that have no children will be forced to pay for it.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I couldn't articulate in words that would be acceptable on the radio, Nick, but, pretty cheesed off, I have to say. And also, of course, hidden in that is the expected tripling of costs for asylum. Well, so much about stopping, so much for stopping the boats and smashing the gangs.
Yes, two empty promises, weren't they? Andrew, thank you for that. I will remind you again, the Chancellor will join us later in this hour. In other news here, from joy to horror as the Liverpool parade attack and a former Marine admits that he simply lost his temper and drove into hundreds of people as the Liverpool Football Club was celebrating that victory parade. And across in the States.
All right, Fox News alert. This is breaking right now. We can confirm now two National Guard troops have been shot in Washington near the White House.
Initially reported as fatal. Now, though, they are both in critical condition. And the reaction from President Trump, about as tough as you can get towards Afghanistan, as the shooter is of Afghan, or the man held is of Afghan origin. More on that as well later in the show. 7:30, Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara on LBC. Let's get those headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Chancellor is facing further questions after being accused of delivering a manifesto-busting budget. Rachel Reeves revealed £26 billion worth of tax hikes yesterday and an extension on the freeze on income thresholds until 2031. The Chancellor will be speaking with Nick live in the next half hour here on LBC. Two members of the National Guard are in a critical condition after being shot near the White House in Washington. The suspected attacker was also shot and is in custody. And firefighters in Hong Kong remain at the scene of a massive fire which tore through a series of high-rise flats. At least 40 people have died. Nearly 300 others are missing in the Tai Po district. LBC weather, rain will develop across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents,
we will be analysing the budget, who won, who lost, and why Rachel Reeves keeps coming back for more of your tax.
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maclis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
I've dealt with many utility companies for many years across several properties, and Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running.
At Harwoods, we know your car says a lot about you. Maybe that you like to make an entrance, or you'd rather make your escape. That you want to cut a dash, or just cut your emissions. That you like to take the bends, or bring your four-legged friends. Whatever, we speak your language. Come and have a chat at Harwood's Audi, Crawley and Five Oaks, and Harwood's Volvo, Crawley. Details at harwoods.co.uk. Harwood's, family-owned since 1931.
We all want to live well and age well. That means having independence and positive choices to enjoy the life we choose. That's what Elmbridge in Cranley is all about. A place of fun, a friendship, in a hive of activity. But above all, it's a place to put your independence and well-being first. To find out more about Elmbridge in Cranley, visit our website today at retirementvillagers.co.uk/Elmbridge.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:33, more of your reactions, of course, to come now. It's an extraordinary day, and speaking as someone who's witnessed quite a few budgets, I have never seen what is effectively the Bible of economic figures being published. It has to be arguably one of the, if you'll pardon the expression, one of the biggest cock-up, fiscal cock-ups in history. But the most important thing is where we find ourselves now. How did the markets finally react after, I would imagine, a fairly roller coaster day? Christian May, editor-in-chief of CityM, joins us now. What is the city reaction? What do the markets tell us when they closed yesterday? Christian, morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, well, like newsrooms across the country, trading floors yesterday were poring over the budget 45 minutes before the budget was delivered. I myself was marching through the square mile on my way to the London Stock Exchange where we were doing a live show, clutching the budget, looking at these pages, thinking this is just surreal. But I suppose we're going to hear a bit more from the head of the OBR today. I think he's already been speaking and saying sorry again. As for market reaction, I mean, let's talk about the bond markets in particular because that's where most people's attention was. I think what's happened is they've given the Chancellor the benefit of the doubt. That's what's happened. So the Chancellor was able to say, look at my new headroom. Look at the amount of headroom I've baked into our public finances. It's much bigger than the previous year. And that shows you how serious I am about controlling debt. And for the time being, the initial reaction from investors appears to be, okay, we see your intention, but we do have some questions. And I think they're giving her the benefit of the doubt. But the more I look into analyst reaction, the more it becomes clear that there is a lingering credibility gap. It seems that the statement, the intention and the statement of intent has done enough to avoid any kind of shocking spike in gilt yields, shocking spike in borrowing costs, nothing like the Liz Truss fallout, nothing like that at all. But the costs of borrowing still remain elevated and the government will be borrowing a great amount of money over the next few years. And economists and analysts, I'm just looking at some of the reaction that's come in. For example, if we take a look at what the head of global economics at Schroders have said, that's one of the biggest holders of government bonds, they said, we now suspect it will not be long before the government is forced to come back with more fiscal consolidation. There is a credibility concern that all of these tax rises, or many of the tax rises, that the Chancellor is using to tell the markets that she's deadly serious, are coming in 3-4 years' time. And there is a credibility question about the likelihood of that. And I'm slightly unnerved this morning at the amount of people in my inbox and on my phone saying, I think that she's going to come back for more taxes this time next year. So there is a question mark over it, although it must be said that she has avoided any kind of calamitous bond market moment.
All right, let's look at some specifics, and it's time for you to do some mansplaining about mansion tax. What happened there, Christian?
Well, however way you cut it, this is a wealth tax. It was very specifically targeted at the wealthiest, if you deem people who live in houses to be worth £2 million to be the wealthiest. And I think it's a fair assumption that they will be at the upper end of our wealth distribution tables. If you live in a house that is worth more than £2 million, the Chancellor is going to impose a wealth tax on you. She's going to call it something else, calling it some property surcharge or something. £2,500 if your house is worth more than £2 million, and it goes up and up from there. Now, the OBR in their forecasts have said that there's actually going to be a bit of a loss to the Treasury off the back of this policy because it's going to have such an impact on property sales in that price bracket that there'll probably be an initial £300 million loss in the stamp duty and capital gains, etc., that would have otherwise been associated with those kinds of properties. But in the long run, the Chancellor wants this to raise £300 or £400 million. How many people live in homes north of 2 million? Not a tremendous amount, about 100,000 or something. And 80% of those, by the way, are in London. Now, what a lot of property tax experts have been saying is this is a bit of a missed opportunity. It is true, as the Chancellor says, she pointed out yesterday, a Band D home in Darlington or Blackpool pays about £2,400 in council tax, which is more than the council tax on a £10 million home in Mayfair. Now, everybody can agree that's absurd. And what that tells you is that there should be long overdue full re-evaluation of council tax. That's been kicked well into the long grass. And in the meantime, she's come in with this fairly messy and quite punchy additional wealth levy on homes worth over a certain amount. So it's not going to raise a tremendous amount of money, but it did allow the Chancellor at least to say, look at me, I'm taxing the rich.
Why did the owners of EV vehicles get an electric shock?
Well, because they're going to have to start paying like the rest of us. It's quite a complicated fiddle that's coming in with charging per mile driving. A new form of road tax is going to encompass electric vehicles. And indeed, it's the uptake of electric vehicles is one of the reasons why the Chancellor bit the bullet dodged by many Chancellors now after successive years, to raise fuel duty. That's because the more people drive electric vehicles, the less people pay for traditional fuel, and the less that rather reliable or traditionally reliable tax brings into the Treasury. So fuel duty is going to rise, and that has led to some pretty outraged reaction from people like the Road Haulage Association, who call it a hammer blow, and there will be new charges for electric vehicle driving. And yeah, you can understand that as more people take up electric cars, the government's going to have to look at the way it generates revenue from this. I mean, some people would say that they shouldn't just look at it as a cash cow, but they need the money. So there will be new charges for electric vehicles in addition to an increase in fuel duty.
And finally, what are these salary sacrifice schemes, and in what way have they been hit, Christian?
Well, a salary sacrifice scheme allows people to put a bit of their pre-tax salary into a pension, and then they don't pay national insurance or income tax on the equivalent amount of their salary that they've put into that sacrifice scheme. And it also helps employers not have to pay their own employer national insurance on the chunk of salary that's put into those schemes. It's a very efficient and effective and attractive way for many people, particularly it's true higher earners, to save into a pension, which is something that all governments ought to be encouraging. The Chancellor yesterday, again, it was very political, Nick. I mean, this is going to raise about 5 billion quid, but she didn't miss the opportunity to say that this is mostly a tax, as she put it, on bankers and their bonuses. She says, you know, people in financial services with a big fat bonus, they just whack it all into their pension and we don't get any tax off it. Well, I'm sure some of them do that. In my experience, people who get bonuses in the city don't tend to do anything as sensible as put it in their pension. And tell this to the doctors, you know, tell this to other people who do make sacrifices to reduce their salary to put into their pension for the long term. The Chancellor's now coming for it. She framed it as another part of her wealth grab. It does also lead to, I would say, another clear breach of the manifesto, because it does add a significant new national insurance burden on employers. And we'll go around the houses with this. Ministers out and about on broadcast last night saying, no, this isn't anything. This isn't a breach. This isn't another rise in national insurance. It is, however they dress it up.
Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM. Full analysis, of course, with City AM. And we have the Chancellor in roughly 10 minutes' time, 7:40. More of your reactions in a moment. Let's go elsewhere. We go to the US. We go to Washington, where two National Guard soldiers are in critical condition after they were shot close to the White House in what officials are calling an ambush attack on the eve, of course, of Thanksgiving. Apparently an Afghan immigrant opened fire. Speaking overnight from Palm Beach, Florida, President Trump said the attack was carried out by that Afghan national.
The Department of Homeland Security is confident that the suspect in custody is a foreigner who entered our country from Afghanistan, a hellhole on earth. He was flown in by the Biden administration in September 2021 on those infamous flights that everybody was talking about. We must now re-examine every single alien who has entered our country from Afghanistan under Biden. That is why tonight I can announce that I have directed the Department of War to mobilize an additional 500 troops to help protect our capital city.
Tough talking from the president. Let's turn to John Doman, who's reporter and presenter for WTOP News in Washington. Obviously, very early hours of the morning for you at the moment, John, but what are we learning about what happened last night? Morning.
Well, the authorities here are saying that this was a targeted attack, that it was the guard soldiers appeared to be ambushed as they were walking around the streets of downtown Washington, and that it was carried out by a guy that didn't even live on the East Coast of the United States. He came from Washington State, by all accounts. And, you know, we don't know the motive yet at this point. That's going to be figured out. But it seems to at least have a lot less to do with the whole idea of crime on D.C. streets, which is why the National Guard is here to begin with.
Do we know how the arrest was made? Did he give himself up? Was he confronted by law officials? How did it happen, John?
Oh, he was shot by National Guard soldiers who were all right there. This was, like you mentioned, two blocks or so from the White House. This is got a lot of National Guard troops. A lot of police are around that area. He opened fire on those guys, and some, at least one of the soldiers fired back at him. We don't know who shot him, but there was a lot of people right around there, and he was shot, and he's in the hospital right now as well.
The president talks, the president talks of the need to re-examine all Afghans. What do you interpret that as meaning?
It's, you know, they've been very tough on immigrants from all countries right here, but especially from Afghanistan. There is, in the administration, not exactly a lot of love from Middle Eastern refugees, and especially refugees from Afghanistan. And some of it is over concerns of, you know, what happened yesterday, the idea that there are people who are radicalized in one way or another in seeking to carry out violence. You know, we don't know why this guy did it, what his motive was for this, but there is just a lot of distrust for refugees in this country by the administration.
John, thank you. Despite the background of violence in your city, I will wish you a happy Thanksgiving today. John Doman is reporter and presenter of WTOP News in Washington, 7:43. We come back to the UK. We come back to the impact of that budget. David is in Godstone. What do you want to take from yesterday? Morning, David.
Good morning, Nick. I'd like to say what an excellent show you run there, and I'm really looking forward to your interview later on with the Chancellor.
Thank you. See how we go.
Now, earlier on, you had a chap talking there about the mansion tax, and I think they're very clever. They've snuck something in underneath that, and that's to increase house taxes in bands F, G, and H.
Yes, that's right.
Now, nobody is talking about this, and somebody did ask a minister who didn't answer the question of what the increase will be. So I did some research, and the think tank that came up with this idea recommended that H and G should go up by 50%, and H should go up by 100%, which could affect your house.
Right.
So that's a doubling on our income, on our net income.
And what does it mean for you? Is your property in one of those bands?
My property is in G. It's just a four-bedroom detached house. I live just outside London, and it's going to be a tax, basically, for London and the South.
It is. London and the Home Counties. David, that has actually, we have referenced it, and it is featured in some of the newspapers, and I'm grateful for your input and the fact that you've reminded us. I have to end there because we're hopeful of getting the Chancellor quite soon after the news, and then later in the show in non-budget news. I'm delighted to say that Seldon is still standing, but sadly he's now half blind. He's lost the sight in his right eye. The left is, quotes, not so good. He has to have Zoom on meetings now with pals, including Sir Paul McCartney. We'll have more on that condition in the next hour. 7:45 LBC News. Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The Chancellor is facing further questions after being accused of delivering a manifesto-busting budget. Two members of the National Guard are in a critical condition after being shot near the White House in Washington. And firefighters in Hong Kong remain at the scene of a massive fire which tore through a series of high-rise flats. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. So these problems on the trains do continue. Chiltern Railways can't run between Marylebone and West Ruislip. It's down to a signal failure. And Great Western Railway are still suspended as well between West Ealing and Greenford. No service on the Piccadilly line between Rainers Lane and Uxbridge. Now on the roads, on the Surrey stretch of the M25, there are lengthy delays anti-clockwise to Junction 12 at the M3. Those queues stretch back to Junction 14 at Heathrow. It was after a van was on fire earlier, but the exit slip road's now back open. Also on the M25, on the western stretch, there are clockwise queues to Junction 16 at the M40. It's slow from Junction 14 at Heathrow, and in central London in Holborn, Southampton Row remains closed both ways.
This is LBC.
Hey, is your wardrobe Christmas ready? At Two, we've got you covered with 20% off everything until the 29th of November. Feel festive with our cosy knits and matching pyjamas. And not forgetting our head-turning party wear. From elegant sequins to luxe velvet, we've got everything you need to make an entrance this season. Shop online at 2.co.uk or in-store at Sainsbury's. Two works every time. T's and C's apply, subject to availability. Delivery charges may apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973, LBC.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
A message from TfL.
I saw Alicia's photo in my newsfeed. All I can think of is her family. How they're getting on. If they're getting on. I didn't look when I pulled out, and she never made it home. Sounds crazy, but it felt like her motorbike came out of nowhere. But I know the truth. I didn't look again.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
They did it again. Flour instead of flowers. On my birthday. I'm 95 minutes late, but it's hard to leave when you've shared so much. Your postcode, your gluten intolerance. Then I saw it. 25% off your first Ocado shop, plus free delivery. And I just knew I'd found the online supermarket of my dreams. Ocado. Life delivered. Geographical restrictions. Min spend £60. Max saving £20. Charges and Christmas restrictions apply. New customers only. Terms at Ocado.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Just coming up on 10 minutes before 8, come to more of your calls. We will be speaking with the Chancellor. Obviously, we're in a queue with other broadcast organisations, so we'll let you know just as soon as we get it. Let's pick up on what you're saying. And by the way, if I don't come to your call now, Nick and Martin and others, we have got time. But let's hammer on what we're saying on social media and on the emails and the texts. Rob says, after all that speculation, the bond markets like the budget. The right-wing press and commentators have to find some other reason to dislike Rachel Reeves while complaining about children being lifted out of poverty. Christopher in Cardiff says the 3p per mile on EVs will have a massive impact on the courier industry. The Royal Mail has the largest fleet of EVs in the country. London Transport has the largest fleet of electric buses in the country. The cost of these using these services will now rise, adding another rise to inflation. Mick says, she says we're all in this together. Well, what have politicians cut back on? Wages, pensions, subsidised living? I don't see them doing anything that affects them or indeed that helps us. More on that. Nick is in Windsor. Nick, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for taking my call. And the problem was yesterday when I was listening to that budget. Well, sorry, the pre-release budget. I put my head in my hands and I was desperately searching for my contract for next year's salary sacrifice car because I'm about to go on pay per mile. And if I'd kept my current car, I'd be much better off.
Oh no! When did you make the change?
Oh, in April this year because I had to really have to order ahead. It takes a year to build a car. Apparently.
Okay. Are you able to work out what that's going to cost you, or is that an impossible sum?
On a 12,000 mileage, it's going to cost me £360 a year, which is something I really can't afford. I work in the NHS. My pay, all those nurses she was standing behind yesterday will be going into top rate of tax, and I can't understand why she's going down this route of attacking the people she's supposed to be trying to help.
Well, commentators would say because she's rather stymied by the promise that she would not increase income tax, so she has to find another way to do it. And not break that. Go ahead.
But she's broken the spirit of the manifesto. She said no tax on working people. I woke up at 4-5 o'clock this morning to go to work.
Yep.
And I'm on top rate of tax from when I walk into work. So by holding these thresholds where they are, and they're not at £16,000 where they should be, I'm now in the top rate of tax. And what I got paid today, my money's gone in, and it's gone straight back out to pay my mortgage. So this government's an absolute joke, and I don't know why anyone votes for these people.
Lastly,
so I certainly won't be.
Lastly, I know there's no metric by which to measure this, but how disappointed are you by what you heard yesterday?
I won't be voting Labour. I never voted Labour. I most certainly won't be voting. I would never be voting for them ever again. I'm voting for the Workers' Party. I would never be voting Reform, but I would be voting for the Workers' Party because they actually talk about actually taxing rich people to offset income tax.
Nick, safe driving. Thanks for the work you do in the NHS. I'm sorry, and I can hear the anger, and I'm not surprised, particularly as you made that unfortunate, what would have seemed the right decision at the time regarding your vehicle. Thanks, Nick. Martin in Reading. Martin, you want to pick on the dividend side. What does that mean to you? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. Hey, thanks for having me on. I own a firm of accountants in Reading, and this budget is going to have a devastating impact on the small end of the small business marketplace. And the reason is because by changing the dividend tax from 8.75 to 10.75, and I won't go into sort of too much detail on the numbers, but most small business owners will pay themselves a basic salary, minimum wage, 12,500, and they'll take the rest in dividends.
Yes.
The change that the Chancellor has now made means that if you had a business where a member of staff was earning, say, £50,000, and then the business owner was making £50,000 in profit, the employee will now earn more than the business owner. So all of the incentives that exist, I've worked for myself for a long time, and I think back about that journey, and you think, if I put it all on the line, if I risk it, if I put my house up, if I put my savings up, there's just a chance that I could do a bit better than I could do in paid employment. Well, as of yesterday, it's now riskier to own a business. You'll earn less money earning a company under this Labour government.
What do you think your clients will be saying to you and your colleagues over the coming days, Martin?
I know what they'll be saying. They'll be saying, what tricks do we have up our sleeves? Are there anything that we can do in terms of tax planning or to look at helping them with additional expenses that can be claimed for in their business? And the truth is that there are things that we can do. And of course, there are other benefits to owning a business. But there isn't a secret book that
Oh, Martin, I think. Martin? No. Good luck with your firm. Thank you. I think we've lost the line. Cody's in Milton Keynes. Cody, your take on yesterday. Good morning.
Hello. My take on it is quite negative.
Yep.
Because I'm 17. Me and my friends are always struggling to get employment as it is because of the income tax that was raised.
What is the work you're trying to get, Code? You've obviously left school then, and you're seeking to get into employment. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. We're just trying to go around. We went around the whole shopping centre trying to look for employment, retail, hospitality, and they're saying they just can't do it. It's too much, and it's one thing after another. They're saying that they can employ older people because it works out cheaper for them.
Right. What are the sort of... Is it retail? You're just trying to get work in a shop or something like that?
Yeah.
What were you hoping to hear yesterday? I tell you what, Cody, let's bring you back into the conversation. I hope you understand, sir, because I do want to hear, but I do have the opportunity to bring into the conversation the Chancellor now. So, Cody, we will try and get back to you 5 to 8. And let's turn to the person, of course, who's at the heart of all the news and the headlines this morning, Chancellor Rachel Reeves, who joins me now. Thanks for going on, Chancellor. The reviews are in, and for the Financial Times, a tax-raising fiscal fix, few long-term solutions, concluding... This Labour government must learn that no amount of fiscal headroom can insulate Britain from persistently weak growth and rising spending, and that attempting to close deficits with ever higher taxation is self-defeating. Chancellor, how do you respond? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and it's great to talk to you as ever. I absolutely agree that we've got to do more to grow our economy. The record over the last few years has not been good enough. Now, I have defied the forecasts this year. The OBR said in the spring that our economy would grow by 1%. They now say it will grow by 1.5%. That follows up with revisions from the IMF, the OECD, and the Bank of England as well. In fact, the IMF say we'll be the second fastest growing economy in the G7 this year. But it's why we're doing things like trade deals with the US, with India and the EU. It's why we're ripping up our planning rules, reforming regulation, getting pension saving, working for the economy. And it's why yesterday we did a big package to support entrepreneurs, because I want to send that message. If you build in Britain, Britain will back you. And that's what the budget was all about yesterday, growing the economy and putting more money in working people's pockets.
Surely the budget, as I understand it, Chancellor, was an extra 780,000 low earners will be dragged into paying income tax, 923,000 more middle earners will end up paying the higher rate, and 4,000 will be caught in the upper 45p rate. That's a million people you've dragged in to pay for this, isn't it, Chancellor?
Well, those are coming in 2028, and of course, the previous government froze those tax thresholds for 7 years. We have extended that. I do recognise that is asking working people to contribute a little bit more, but we've managed to keep that to an absolute minimum by bearing down on waste and inefficiency in public spending, with further efficiency targets and concrete measures announced yesterday, why we are taxing the gambling companies a bit more, why we're asking
But it's a little. It's not a little bit more. It's not a little bit more if you're a middle earner, is it? You're, in some instances, you're being brought into the 40p tax rate.
That's from 2028. But next year, we are taking £150 off of everyone's bills, whether you're a pensioner or somebody that goes out to work every day. And I recognise that the cost of living is still people's biggest concern. It's why we're freezing prescription charges for another year. It's why we are freezing rail fares, the first time that's happened in 30 years, and doing things like expanding free childcare for working parents. You know, all of this is aimed at reducing the cost of living and ensuring that families can spend more of their money on things that matter to them.
You've removed the two-child benefit cap. I mean, why should families in benefits not face the same financial choice about having children as those who support themselves in work? Why not, Chancellor?
60% of people, Nick, 60% of people that will benefit from the two-child change are people in work. But child poverty is pervasive, and there are a lot of people who go to work every day but still aren't earning enough to, you know, be able to put food on the table and pay their energy bills. This will lift directly 450,000 kids out of poverty. And yesterday I was in a hospital chatting to the nurses there, and they said that kids end up in hospital with respiratory problems because they are living in cold and damp homes. That is not acceptable in one of the richest countries in the world. And 60% of kids that will benefit from this have parents that are going out to work and doing the right thing.
How are you defining poverty?
It's 60% of medium incomes. That's how poverty is measured. It has been in this country for a long time.
So what does that actually mean? What is the median income, Chancellor?
The medium income is around £35,000 a year. I haven't got the exact numbers to hand.
And you're convinced that this will lift those children out of poverty. How is it a necessary equation? One follows the other.
Well, this puts more money in the pockets of low-income families. And when you talk to teachers about the poverty that many children are experiencing, when you talk to nurses and those who work in the health service, when you go to food banks and see working parents turning up at a food bank because after the rent, after the energy bills, doing those things, there's not enough money for the essentials. And so I'm not going to make any apologies for lifting kids out of poverty. But we've got a welfare system that writes off too many people as too sick to work and writes off too many kids before they even have a chance.
But we understand people are signing up now at a rate of about £5,000 a day. And I read, so those in benefit, there could be a lift. 560,000 families will get an extra £5,310 per year. This is Alarm Clock Britain paying for Benefit Street, isn't it, Chancellor?
Well, as I've just said, 60% of the people that benefit from this that have parents in work. And I don't think children should be punished by this pernicious policy any longer. And the cost to society of this is huge. You know, the cost for councils of temporary accommodation when people can no longer afford the rent, putting families in B&Bs, kids having to move school all the time because parents are moved from one B&B to another lot of temporary accommodation. And there's costs for years to come because all the evidence shows that kids that are growing up poor are less likely to get into work and more reliant on the welfare state in the future for them. So this is a good investment in those kids to give them the chances that I want for my kids and everyone wants for their kids. And it also saves money for taxpayers on that accommodation, on those additional health costs, and ensuring that those kids grow up to be productive adults contributing to society.
Chancellor, the last time you dominated the airwaves in this fashion was earlier this month when you came on breakfast radio and breakfast television and you clearly indicated there could be a rise in income tax, possibly the level of 2p. Why did you change your mind?
Well, we have a number of forecasts during the process, and over the course of the last few weeks, those forecasts moved around a lot. But I did want people to understand the context for this budget, which was
so there was a possibility of a 2p raise. I do apologise talking over you, but there was a real possibility of a 2p raise, and you and your colleagues decided against it because of some figures that came in. What were those figures?
I'm not going to go through all the different forecasts that we had, but it's an interactive process where we give policies to the Office of Budget Responsibility. They cost them. They look at the indirect effects on the wider economy. I wanted a package that reduced the cost of living, reduced NHS waiting lists, and reduced government debt and borrowing. And we've achieved that without putting up income tax, national insurance, or VAT. Although I recognise, as we started this interview, that from 2028, more people will be pushed into paying taxes or paying taxes at a higher rate.
You mentioned the OBR. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being incandescent, how angry were you at yesterday's leak?
I mean, look, I found out about it when I was in the House of Commons chamber. It is clearly unacceptable that the Office of Budget Responsibility...
But I wanted a number from you, Chancellor. You're good on numbers. 1 to 10, 10 being incandescent. Where were you on the anger scale?
At the higher end, Nick. But Richard Hughes has written to me last night apologising. There's an urgent review going on to see exactly how this was able to happen. That will report to me very quickly.
All right. Lastly, talking about disagreements, tell us about the bust-up with London Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan. What went on in your office?
I don't recognise that. Yesterday in the budget, we've put in money for the Lower Thames Crossing, which eases congestion within London, and also the DLR extension out to Thamesmead. And, you know, in London, kids are going to be lifted out of poverty from this budget and are going to have £150 off their energy
bills. I was referring to a report started by the New Statesman, picked up by the Standard. You told Sir Sadiq earlier this year to, quote, get out of my office as he tried to negotiate more funding for the capital. What more can you tell us about this, Chancellor?
I don't recognise that characterisation. I've got a great relationship with Sadiq, and I saw him just a couple of weeks ago at Remembrance Sunday at the Cenotaph, and I was pleased yesterday to be able to set extra support to get that DLR to boost growth and get more houses built in that part of London.
OK. So, lastly, with the changes, having said that you'd... having said before that it was all fully costed, last year you fixed the foundations, can you assure my listeners now, read my lips, no more tax increases as and when you present next year's budget? There will be no threshold moves, no tax increases. Everything is now securely fixed and found, and the foundations set. Chancellor.
No Chancellor can predict the future or write next year's budget, but I made my choices yesterday to get NHS waiting lists down, cut the cost of living and reduce the debt and the borrowing. I think they were the fair and the necessary choices in the circumstances that I faced, but Chancellor's governments have to respond to events. But look, I've doubled the size of that headroom against our fiscal rules yesterday so that we can withstand the shocks, which I'm sure will continue to come our way.
Grateful for your time. Rachel Rees, Chancellor of the Exchequer, joining us here on LBC. 6 minutes after eight, we're going to delay the news because let's get straight to the reaction from the Shadow Chancellor, Sir Melstride, who's been listening to that. And obviously you saw and heard yesterday as their budget was outlined. I was watching some of it. Can I suggest at times there was almost an incredulous look on your face, Sir Mel? I've not had the opportunity to speak with you, and obviously I want my listeners to hear your take on what you heard yesterday and what you're hearing on what's called the broadcast round this morning. Morning, Sir Mel.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, I mean, I just think a very, very poor budget. We've seen now a lot of increases in taxes, breaching the Labour Party's manifesto on hard-working people. And where is that money going? Well, quite a lot of it's going on paying for higher benefit bills, so keeping people on benefits. The OBR themselves says it will lead to 25,000 more people going onto benefits as a direct consequence of making them more attractive. Those are the wrong choices. They should be getting on top of spending, particularly welfare, and then getting taxes down as a way of growing the economy.
I've come in for a bit of criticism, both on LBC and on a television show in which I appear this morning, because it's suggested that I'm going after the Chancellor in some kind of misogynistic attack. I would like to make the point that I just don't think she's a very good Chancellor, irrespective of whether man or woman. Your take on this, Rouse, Amel?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, when Rachel Reeves came out and said this is all mansplaining, I'm afraid that is just a smokescreen. It's a diversionary device to try and get people's attention away from the reality. This is not about gender, Nick. It's about economic incompetence. And we have seen a government that has destroyed growth, destroyed jobs, got inflation higher than it should be, interest rates higher than it should be, and so on and so forth, because it's taken the wrong choices, taxing businesses, borrowing and spending vast amounts of money, mounding up our debt. All of those things are the wrong choices, and they're on Rachel Reeves's watch.
I put it to her earlier that effectively Alarm Clock Britain is paying for Benefit Street. She won't have it. What's your interpretation, Samel?
That is absolutely correct. I mean, just look at what's happening. She is loading up taxes through the freeze in the income tax thresholds, not for 2 years, as was suggested, but actually a full 3 years. A lot of that money is simply being transferred by way of more generous benefit entitlements. Now, any economist knows that economics is not just about redistribution, it's also about incentives. And if you take away the incentives to work because it's easier to stay on benefits, do not be surprised if unemployment goes up and real wages go down. And that is what this government is doing. We are not going to get growth in this country unless we first and foremost get on top of government spending, and that has to include the welfare bill.
Let's look at the markets. Although a bit of a roller coaster ride at the start, not least because of that leak, and we must come on to your level of confidence, by the way, in the OBR, but it would seem the markets have sort of settled and give a grudging thumbs up or amber light to this. Is that fair in your view, Samel?
Well, we'll have to see where it goes, Nick. You can't judge a budget within 24 hours. You do have to wait a bit longer. And a lot of the challenges that have now been seeded by this budget, of course, will become more apparent through time, I think. But the other thing I would say is, of course, we have come off the back of probably the most chaotic, strung-out build-up to a budget in the history of our country. All these leaks and U-turns and kite-flying and culminating in the OBR actually leaking the entire budget before the Chancellor stood up. So I'm not surprised that when you get the final event, and at least we know what is happening, there's some sense of comfort that comes from that. But I'm afraid in the medium term, I have real fears over our economy.
OBR, fit for purpose.
Well, I think generally, yes, it is. I do think it needs reform. Clearly, this latest incident is both unprecedented and deeply worrying that they should have, for whatever reason, have leaked or posted up the entire contents of their report before the Chancellor had actually stood up in the House of Commons. I actually raised a point of order on the floor of the House to draw attention to this and demand an investigation into what has exactly happened. Now, was it something sinister? We don't know. It's probably more likely that it was just simply a complete mistake or a technical problem, in which case I think that's a different thing. But I think generally the OBR is important because it's an independent body. It does mark the Chancellor's homework. It does tell us whether she's on target or not to meet her fiscal rules. And I think it's better that an independent body does that than that the Chancellor does that herself.
Finally, the expression, the nickname, Rachel from Accounts. Fair critique or misogynistic slur? Samel.
I certainly don't think it's a misogynistic slur. It's not a term, actually, that I have used. But look, people have their different way of making their point. And I think the overriding point here, Nick, is that I'm afraid we do not have a Chancellor that has a proper grip of our economy. And I'm afraid particularly hard-working people are paying the price.
Grateful for your time, Shadow Chancellor Samel Stride, appearing here on LBC 11 minutes after 8. Let's come back to that idea of talking about the fact that we have 8 female Chancellor. Now, Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch addressed the complaints from the Chancellor about being a victim of misogyny as she launched in her scathing attack following the budget yesterday.
Today, she had an opportunity to apologise and show some humility. Yeah. Instead, we've been fed puff pieces in the Times and the FT, yeah, showing a woman wallowing in self-pity, yeah, whining about mansplaining and misogyny. So, Madam Deputy Speaker, let me explain to the Chancellor, woman to woman. People out there aren't complaining because she's female, they're complaining because she is utterly incompetent.
Yeah! Playing the woman and not the ball. Last night, Kemi Badenoch was with my LBC colleague, Ian Dale, and she explained...
quite a lot of people have said thank you for saying what we had on our minds. Rachel Rees was extremely personal in her budget speech towards the Conservatives. I mean, I can't count the number of times she used Liz Truss's name when Liz Truss is not in the chamber to defend herself. Labour are quite happy to be personal, and then when other people respond in kind, they start complaining about it. Politics is rough and tumble. You've got to give as good as you get. Rachel Rees has spent a lot of time complaining about how people are treating her. She needs to start thinking about how she's treating the people of this country who are getting poorer.
12 after 8. Let's bring into the conversation Susie Stride, who's a political commentator and consultant and was certainly Labour Party candidate at one point. Susie Stride, using the expression Rachel from accounts, a fair criticism or misogynistic slur? Where is it? Good morning.
Good morning. Look, I think it is... It is a bit misogynistic. I do think it is a bit sexist. I mean, I've been hearing that term, you know, her being spoken of in that way just consistently over the last year. We're talking even from when she, you know, she first came in as Chancellor. And I just do think it is derogatory.
Why so?
Because it's just that continually belittling her, And I do think, you know, all the times that I've commentated, you know, on other chancellors, that there's not been that kind of, maybe, you know, playing the ball, but not the person.
Well, you say that, Susie Stride, but I remember when George Osborne was given, he was called Boy George. Surely that's equally derogatory, Boy George, as Rachel from accounts.
No, I don't think so. And look, just to say, there may have been times when, you know, people have been treating that, or, you know, they were speaking that way about George Osborne. And actually, I personally am much more for a politics where you do challenge the opposition, you do challenge, you know, what the Tories did for 14 years, and let's be honest, you know, hollowing out our army, NHS waiting list going through the roof, schools being left to crumble, water being pumped full of sewage. You know, I've got no problem with talking about the record. The record is right. But I think when we start getting really personal in that way, right, I do think it becomes quite derogatory.
Susie Stride, appreciate your time. Thank you. You're a former Labour Party candidate. You're now a political commentator. Rachel from account, surely on the same level as Boy George, as in George Osborne. We'll take your views on that and continue, of course, to wrap up your reaction to the budget. And in other news...
In just 7 minutes, his dangerous driving meant that his car collided with more than 100 people, including children, in some cases trapping them underneath the vehicle and causing serious injuries.
From joy at the victory parade for Liverpool to horror, near tragedy. More in a moment. 8:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Chancellor Rachel Rees has defended her tax-hiking budget, promising it'll put more money in people's pockets. Two members of the National Guard are in a critical condition after being shot near the White House in Washington. And a panel of experts are expected to decide later whether to recommend a screening programme for prostate cancer in the UK. LBC weather, rain developing across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Still very busy on the M25 clockwise from junction 14 at Heathrow to 16 at the M40. It's still taking around half an hour to get through that queue, and it's because of an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes have been open for a while. And then anti-clockwise, it's slow to junction 12 at the M3 from 14 at Heathrow, and that was after that van was on fire earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. In Leighton, the high road is closed both way. Battersea Bridge is closed northbound because a bus has broken down, and that's causing delays back along Latchmere Road. In Holborn, Southampton Row remains closed in both directions after the fire yesterday. And on the trains, Chiltern aren't running between Marylebone and West Ruislip, and Great Western Railway are suspended between West Ealing and Greenford.
LBC.
Roll up, it's time for the raffle.
Oh, everything costs a fortune these days. Even my mobile bill.
Well, yeah, you're with a big mobile network. I'm with Lebara. Their prices haven't gone up since 2020, and they're rated 5 stars on Trustpilot.
5 stars? For customer service?
Yep. Real people on the phone every day from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.
And the winning number is 10!
No, from £5 a month.
Lebara, the smarter mobile network.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
A Southern Train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out, sit back, And when you hear All Change Please, you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Black Friday is non-stop. Orders, calls, messages.
Sounds like you need the right sidekick to keep business booming, Claire.
Go on.
In EE's Black Friday sale, you can save £720 on a 36-month plan with the Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra. Perfect for keeping your business running smoothly.
What a deal. Thanks, Kev.
Search EE Business today. BT and EE. Better for business.
Excludes 20% VAT. Ends 4th of December. Terms apply.
How's the business going?
We're busier than ever, but struggling to get the staff we need.
Oh, recruiting can be such a distraction. We gave Job Centre Plus a try, and they've really helped us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead easy. We got our own employer advisor, Julie, who helped advertise our jobs, shortlisted candidates for us, and let us interview at the Job Centre. We've hired some great people, and Job Centre Plus really took the hassle out of it, and there was no fee.
Brilliant. That's straight on my to-do list.
Find out more at business.gov.uk/recruit. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
18 after 8. Let's debate in a moment, Rachel from Accounts. Fair criticism or just a nasty misogynistic slur. But I want to wrap up the conversation with Cody. Now, if you're just joining us, Cody is a young man. He's 17. He's seeking employment. We were speaking to him about the impact of the budget. He's in Milton Keynes. And we'll just wrap up with you, Cody. And just remind the listeners, you go around, you and your friends, you try and getting jobs in retail, but it's pretty bleak. Have any of your mates got jobs? And what do you intend to do next? Cody, thanks for holding.
Yeah, thank you. None of us have actually got jobs yet. We're still trying. But we speak to a business owners constantly, and it is just hard for them to afford it.
And what were you hoping for from yesterday?
I was hoping a bit more honesty. I want to mention about the comment about her misogyny.
Oh, no, please do. Yeah, do you think it's misogynistic? Yeah, please do,
No, Cody. No, I don't think it is, actually. I think Rachel doesn't understand that people in the public don't care if she's a woman. Bad chancellor.
I think that's probably the truth. Cody, I will leave it there. Listen, I wish you good luck, matey. I hope you get a job somewhere later today, or certainly next week, or certainly before Christmas as you go around. And keep trying, Cody. You will get there. Your perseverance as a 17-year-old is very good. Well done to you. Right, let's pick up on this idea. The Rachel from Accounts. Here we go. This is the one I want. Nicola, you rotten old man. Rachel from Accounts is a misogynistic slur. Bedinock is an ignorant idiot who continually throws people of her own race and sex under the bus. I see, Nicola. So it's all right to call someone an ignorant idiot. But Rachel from Accounts, surely... Jenny in Horsham. Surely Rachel from Accounts refers more to her self-promotion and lies in her CV rather than her gender. David Sanders says, is there anyone out there called Rachel who's in Accounts? I think we did actually find someone there. Peter, similar point just made by Jenny. Let's remember why she's called Rachel from Accounts. She lied about her CV. Not a highbrow in the Bank of England, but an office administrator. Slightly higher than that. Simon is in Portsmouth. Is it fair or is it unfair? Playing the woman and not the ball. Good morning.
Nick, it's absolutely unfair. It is playing the woman and not the ball. And I speak from the foreign context. I'm a bloke. Right.
Yep.
I've trained as a chartered accountant. I've worked in many organisations with marketing, commercial.
Hello? Hello, hello?
Hello?
Yeah,
hello,
sorry, you said, no, go, you said you worked across, then it went. Simon, let's try again, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've worked in all these organisations, and consistently there is an attitude of referring to people in finance, in accounts, in a belittling sense. Rachel from Accounts absolutely fits into that. What people should be doing, what politicians should be doing, is focusing on what they should have done in terms of policy.
But Simon, by many measures, the economy is not performing well. It happens that she is the Chancellor. When George Osborne as Chancellor was under attack, he was called Boy George. Politics is a contact sport, surely.
So when you call someone Boy George, you have to look at that in context. Boy George is a pop icon in this country.
No,
right?
No. They weren't referring to him as singing of Karma Chameleon. They were talking about his inexperience and what a juvenile approach he took to being Chancellor. That's what they were talking about. They weren't talking about his singing prowess or his ability to cross-dress.
Well, if you're referring to someone's inexperience in a particular competence, that's okay. That's absolutely okay. That's a very different thing to reducing to someone as Rachel from accounts. Now,
spreadsheet Phil? That was Philip Hammond, now Lord Hammond. Look, pretty derogatory in that he had about the pretty much the inspiration enthusiasm of an old flip-flop. Not particularly
absolutely
nice.
That's in a similar vein to Rachel from accounts. This sort of stuff,
Lord Hammond never complained. Philip Hammond never complained. He just said, that's the game.
Yeah, he didn't complain because he'd got on with the job, okay? Some people have thicker skin than other people. It doesn't mean you can't call out when people are kind of being bullies about stuff. Now,
all right. I will leave it there, Simon. Thank you. We have battled with a bit of a bad line, so I'm conscious it could, what they call, drop off at any moment. So I'm going to let you go, sir, and get on with your day, and we'll pick up on a conversation with others. 8:23. Now, I did say we will be covering other stories. So let's go to the former Royal Marine Paul Doyle in court yesterday. And I noticed, and by the way, I will put the caveat that there's already growing anger from the Marines because apparently this man did not serve for a long time. He didn't meet necessary criteria, but I have to say, in terms of definition, it does actually fit, but I note the anger that's generated from, quotes, genuine, close quotes, Marines. Anyway, this man, Doyle, changed his plea at the last moment and admitted mowing fans down at Liverpool's victory parade. Prosecutors called it an act of calculated violence. Let's hear now from Chief Crown Prosecutor for the CPS in Mersey, Cheshire, Sarah Hammond, speaking yesterday outside Liverpool Crown Court after he, Doyle, changed his plea.
Driving a vehicle into a crowd is an act of calculated violence. This was not a momentary lapse by Paul Doyle. It was a choice he made that day, and it turned celebration into mayhem. I would like to commend the bravery of the emergency services who acted swiftly at the scene. There can be no doubt that their actions saved lives.
Let's turn to Kate Bex, who's a KC and criminal barrister at Red Lion Chambers, specialising in grave cases such as murder and manslaughter, and joining me now. Well, as a journalist, I was intrigued by the chronology or choreography of this, in that initially it looked like we were in possibly a four-week trial, and then I think within 24 hours, the plea was changed. Obviously, nobody knows why. That only goes on in the mind of Mr. Doyle and his team. But can you talk us through the sort of counselling and advice you might have been given? Kate Bex, good morning.
Good morning. Do you know, Nick, it's actually not that uncommon for that to happen. Sometimes it's a shame that it does. It's a shame for the victims who are put through more anguish. It's also a shame for him because he will only get about 5% credit for pleading guilty, whereas if he'd done it months ago, he could have got 30%. But the sort of thought process is that it's that human characteristic, I'm afraid, that some people have of just trying to stick their head in the sand and avoid the inevitable, hoping that it'll go away. And of course, It rarely does, and it certainly doesn't with something like this.
Your point is well made. How awful for the victims who have to gear themselves up for day after day, week after week. So what happens now? That's interesting, Kate. You say he could have been looking at a sort of 30% discount on the tariff. Now, maximum 5%. Yes. What term might we be looking at?
So 29 counts on the indictment of injury to people, of which 9 are the most serious. So 9 people were really seriously injured. That's not to negate the seriousness in injuries to the other 20, but there are 9 who attract the most serious charges. Just dealing with one of those, the prosecution have made it quite clear that they will be submitting to the judge in due course that this is a Category 1A case, and that means high culpability, the highest culpability, and they say that because victims of young age and the use of a highly dangerous weapon equivalent, that being the car. And they say that the harm is the highest category, Category 1, because some people have been left with life-threatening injury. And if for a single person, a single victim, that sort of offence would result in a starting point of 12 years and a range of 10 to 16. Goodness. And here you've got 9 in that category and then a further 20. What makes this a really tricky sentencing exercise, which of course is why it's in the hands of the Recorder of Liverpool, Judge Maneri, is that there are, I think, over 100 victims or 130 people injured in total, 29 on the indictment. But I can't find, from my research that I was doing this morning, I can't find another case where people, that number of people have been injured. Of course, there are the terrible bombings where there's mass murder, but this is not that case. Wow. It's
this
different.
This is virgin
it's
territory.
Mass.
It's virgin territory for the recorder,
I think it
isn't
is.
It?
I think it is. I think it is. I think it's a very tricky sentencing exercise. And so, as I've said to your researcher,
you're not
very happy to help. Very happy to help, but I'm not going to try to put a number on it.
No.
It could be a discretionary life sentence. It could be high teens. It could even begin with a two. I just don't know.
Kate, thanks for your input. Kate Bex is a KC. And a criminal barrister to be found at Red Line Chambers sentencing. A two-day sentencing hearing has been set for December the 15th with the Recorder of Liverpool judge Andrew Menery telling Doyle to, quote, prepare himself for an inevitable custodial sentence of some length. It's going to be given with a two, isn't it? 20 years plus, you would have thought? 8:28. Let's come back to the idea that Rachel from Accounts is not a fair criticism. It's a nasty, misogynistic slur based on the fact that she, not only is a woman, she's the first female chancellor the nation's ever had. Matt's in Stafford. Which is it? Good morning.
I think it's fair criticism, to be honest with you, Nick. It's very fair, because this is about competence. It's nothing to do with gender. It's about how competent she is at doing the job that she's been given. And at the moment, and given the fact that she's given two budgets, both of which have actually done a fair amount of damage to quite
a lot of
people.
We don't know about this one yet. I'll just say that, Matt. But the indications are. Go ahead, sir. On you go.
Yeah, well, in that, basically, that is the damage that it's going to happen. People are going to be struggling. People are struggling anyway. And when she comes on this morning and says, we're only asking people to pay a little bit more. Well, they're not really asking people to pay a little bit more. They're asking people to pay more because of the income tax bands not moving. But they're also asking people to pay fuel duty.
Yep.
And then they're asking the electric car tax.
Yep.
And it just goes on and on and on and on. So it's not a little bit more. It's a little bit more if you take each part in isolation. But when you take it as a whole, it's a lot more. So people are going to be really struggling.
Lastly, which one has impacted you the most? Have you got an electric vehicle? Do you live in an extraordinarily large house? Are you concerned about the salary sacrifice? Any of them literally knocking on your door, Matt?
I think for me, it's
I've never done that before.
I get that a lot. Nick,
I do apologise. Oh dear.
No, I don't live in a large house. In fact, I live in a narrowboat, so
that's
really not going to affect me in any way.
What a glorious! Like, what canal are you on?
Trent and Mersey.
How do you get your mail?
It goes to a friend's house. So that's the only way I can do it.
So look, come on a spring morning or on a summer's evening, to sit on your boat with a glass of beer or wine or vodka or whatever. But on a morning like this, it must be freezing on that boat.
Yes, it is. There was certainly a time. There was a time last year that it was -7 outside the boat and -4 inside the boat.
Oh man, how do you survive?
I've got a small log burner. I did actually have central heating up until this point last year when it died. So I don't have that now either. But generally speaking, you're right. The summers will pay for the winters.
Oh, mate, I will think of you next summer. Spring comes around next year. There's old Matt enjoying it, and it's getting a little bit better. Matt, thanks for having a sense of humour. Look after yourself, sport. Lovely life, but not in this weather, I would suggest. Rachel from Accounts will continue that conversation. And from trouble down on the farm right to the heart of Westminster. Well enough, I walked through that, and they made a heck of a sound, a cacophony. Now, arrests were made as those tractors descended on Trafalgar Square, but should you really be arrested for driving a tractor? We'll look at that in more detail. 8:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferraro, and LBC. Let's get the news, Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Chancellor has defended her tax-hiking budget, promising it'll put more money in people's pockets. It included a freeze on income tax thresholds, meaning 1.7 million people will find themselves paying more. Two members of the National Guard are in a critical condition after being shot near the White House in Washington. The suspected attacker was also shot and is in custody. And firefighters in Hong Kong remained at the scene of a massive fire which tore through a series of high-rise flats. At least 40 people have died. Nearly 300 others are missing in the Tai Po district. LBC weather: rain will develop across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
They promise growth and change. Growth has been cut again for every year bar this, and the only changes are changes they're making to their own promises. They promised not to come back to increase taxes. They are. They promised to get control of government spending on welfare. It's going up. They promised, indeed the Chancellor said, it would hurt working people to allow more of them to be dragged into paying higher levels of income tax. Guess what? That is exactly what is happening.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Everything has led to this moment. The Porsche Cayenne Black Edition. Two decades of evolution have created the refined SUV with true Porsche performance. With enhanced personalization, athletic detailing, and high gloss black finish, the Black Edition isn't just driven, it's felt. This is the moment where style meets precision. The brand new Porsche Cayenne Black Edition. 20 years in the making. To book your test drive, search Porsche Guildford or visit Porsche.co.uk. Porsche, there is no substitute.
We all want to live well and age well. That means having independence and positive choices to enjoy the life we choose. That's what Elmbridge in Cranley is all about. A place of fun, a friendship, in a hive of activity. But above all, it's a place to put your independence and well-being first. To find out more about Elmbridge in Cranley, visit our website today at retirementvillagers.co.uk/Elmbridge.
Ears are great, aren't they? One on each side of your head for stereo. It's because of ears that radio ads can amplify your advertising. 40 million adults listen to commercial radio every week. That's 80 million ears, give or take. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:34. Trouble down on the farm found its way to the heart of London, or certainly the heart of politics of Westminster. We'll have more on that in a moment. But we're asking whether the expression Rachel from accounts is, I'll use the expression again, playing the woman and not the bull, fair criticism, or just an ugly slur. James in Liverpool. What do you say, James? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. You okay?
Yeah, grand, thanks, sir.
Yes,
are you a blue or a red?
Well, by the accent, you can tell I'm a blue.
Oh, you're a blue. Okay. You must be so upset at what's happening over at Anfield.
Oh, yeah, my heart bleeds for them.
Your heart bleeds blue. On you go, James.
mine's more really a question. So, Rachel from accounts is clearly just a commentary on what she's doing. But our first female Prime Minister being called the Iron Lady,
yep,
is that not more misogynistic? Because
that's
you're kind of insinuating... You're kind of insinuating that because she's a lady and she's strong, she's called the Iron Lady.
Well, what do you think? And, I mean, let's be honest, your home city, not a huge fan of Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, to say the least, yeah.
What would you say it is?
I think it's a politician, and the politician's being given a name, and she's the Chancellor. She deals with accounts. She's called Rachel from accounts.
And also the fact that she did manipulate her CV. Do you think... I do think that's fair. That's been suggested by Jenny from James and some others. I think that's fair, don't you?
That's exactly where it comes from.
Yeah.
It comes from because she's fuddle thing, so... But, yeah, like I say, calling somebody the Iron Lady because she's a strong-willed woman.
Lastly, Liverpool folk are known for being fairly plain-speaking, so remember, this is live. What did you make of her work yesterday, James? How does it affect you?
Yeah, it wasn't the best, but what you're going to do is you're going to have arguments for both sides, aren't you? You're going to have all the stuff for the welfare, and all the people on the left are going to start saying that. You're going to have the people on the right who are going to start saying it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very centre kind of person. There's some things that are good, there's some things that are bad. That's where I stand, really.
All right, mate, tell me your players are going to start thumping each other again this weekend. I did enjoy that.
I do you know what? From what I've seen on the socials, if they don't, I think some of the fans are going to do it.
Now the fans will start going. Everybody starts thumping the play. I'm not calling for violence. Someone will say, now I'm inciting violence. Of course I'm not. I'm having a laugh with an Everton fan who lives in Liverpool. James, be well. Thank you. More on this to come. Well, as I said, there was trouble. Trouble on the farm coming to the heart of London. And I was walking. That's actually quite moderate, because what time did I wandering through London? It's about 11. I can't even remember. It was a cacophony of sound. Farmers, though, several arrests made after tractors were driven in Whitehall for a protest on farm inheritance tax. Farmers defying a ban on agricultural machinery by the Metropolitan Police. To Graham Potter, a farmer who was at the protest, owner of The Grange, a 500-acre farm near Thirsk in North Yorkshire, and they've been farmers for generations. We've spoken before, Farmer Potter, haven't we? Good morning, sir. Good to have you back on. Remind listeners who are coming fresh to this, or it might have faded a little in their memory, what's this row all about? Morning.
Good morning. It's all about the inheritance tax, which the Labour government are putting on farmers, and obviously we're a little bit annoyed about it.
What did you hope to achieve yesterday? How many of you turned up?
Well, I mean, yesterday, when I got off the tube yesterday and walked into Westminster, down into Whitehall, I was expecting to see thousands and thousands of farmers. But because of the Metropolitan Police the day before, cancelling all these tractors and knocking it on the head at the last minute, there weren't as many farmers there as what there should have been. And from what I've heard, there was about maybe 1,000 tractors trying to get their way into London yesterday, and they were getting turned away and everything. And, been watching the old social medias a bit, over the last 24 hours of what's been going on. And, it was just a bit of it was terrible, really. And I mean, I came down the day before. I'm still down in London now, actually.
Right.
And I came down the day before and expecting to see thousands and thousands of farmers in there, but because of what the police had done, there wasn't that as many folks as we thought, but there were still plenty of people there and plenty of farmers there outside 10 Downing Street making a noise and making a racket. So yeah, it was good.
It was good, but I remember some months ago when the campaigning started, I happened to be down on the street, and the parade, whatever you want to call it, the rally of tractors went on for a long time. Graham, I have concerns. We live in a country where you're told you can't drive a tractor in a part of London and the police turn you around. Surely it must worry you and your colleagues.
Well, definitely, yeah. I mean, we pay our road taxes and everything like everybody else, insurance. I mean, we weren't doing anything wrong, nothing illegal. I mean, we're farmers. We don't want to break the law, and we certainly don't want to be getting arrested because we've got our farms to attend to. So we can't feed our stock locked up in the prison cell.
I've got to ask you this. There is a school of thought that why shouldn't farmers pay inheritance tax? What would you tell those people?
Well, look, we all pay our taxes, right? And, if we make money, we pay tax like everybody else. The difference is that, look, we're asset rich, but cash poor. That is the problem. I mean, we're getting paid bugger all for our... Sorry, am I allowed to say that word?
Well, it's gone, yes. You feel it passionately. I better apologise for anyone who's offended by Farmer Potter's outdoor language, but on you go, sir.
So we get paid nothing for our wheat this day at the moment. I mean, the price, a tonne of wheat at the moment, I think we could be getting paid about £165 a tonne. A few years ago, we could get £350 a tonne for it.
Oh, my God. And your diesel and your tractor parts and everything else, that's not going
to... Oh, yeah, they've all gone up. I mean, tractors, right? Here's one for you. So before COVID, right, you could buy... We bought a tractor, a 200-horsepower tractor, and it cost us £110,000 for this 215-horsepower tractor, right?
Right.
We bought exactly the same tractor 4 years later, right?
Yeah.
It was over £200,000 for the same machine.
How many years on? How many years?
4 years on.
Good grief. Ah, but was it a Jeremy Clarkson Lamborghini tractor?
No. It was. I don't know if I'm allowed to make...
John Deere.
Yeah, that's the one. You got it. Yeah.
Oh, Massey Ferguson. And that's it.
No, I'm out now. John Deere.
All right, listen, your colleagues who've been arrested, it's reported that Nigel Farage is supporting them, saying that Reform UK will provide any legal support required to every farmer protesting peacefully. A response from you for that, for Mr. Farage?
Well, I think that's fantastic if Mr. Farage is going to do that for us, for the farmers. It's absolutely brilliant. And I tell you what else I've seen this morning. Oh, just before I came on the news to you guys,
yeah.
I saw there was a GoFundMe page on Facebook.
Right.
And they've raised £8,000 already to try and get that tractor out that the police went and took off the streets yesterday.
Oh, where is that tractor now? Is it at Scotland Yard or something?
I don't know where it is, but I've just seen videos of being towed onto the back of a truck yesterday on Whitehall. And I mean, and the thing is, the police, they couldn't, all they had to do was put the key in it and start it and drive it on, but they didn't have a clue, you know?
I don't know if I'd been able to start a truck. I think they're pretty complex looking bits of kit. Graham Potter, safe travels back to Thurskas, and when you go, you're a farmer. Who was the here yesterday? You owned a Grange, a 500-acre farm near Thursk, and your family have farmed it for four generations. We might talk farming at 8:42. We are talking misogyny. Rachel from Accounts, Neil in Glasgow. Fair or unfair? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. I think it's somewhere in the middle, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I think you described it as being a misogynic slur.
Well, I'm
misogynistic
asking.
Misogynistic slur.
Yeah, I'm asking, is it one? Yes, yes.
Yeah, I
don't think it is, by the way. Just to nail my colours. Yeah.
But the other thing is, I'm not sure it's entirely 100% fair, but I do want to try and drag us back to where it came from. I think this was something to do with when she was in opposition as the Shadow Chancellor, describing herself as an economist.
Yep.
I think as we approached the election, we discovered that she was less of an economist and more of a person that worked in a bank, and I can't remember exactly, but I think that's where it came from. And I have to say, she's not doing an awful lot to change my mind about it. I'm moving away from being the less than an economist.
Let me ask you, from yesterday, do you live in a very expensive house? Have you got salary sacrifice? Do you drive an electric vehicle? What affected you the most, Neil?
I don't know if my house is expensive. It's probably... Well, it's not cheap.
No.
But I drive an electric car, so I'm a bit disappointed with that. But at the same time, I knew it was coming. You can, you know, you've got to contribute in some way to the road, so I'm not hugely falling out with that one. The salary sacrifice thing, I'm already sort of semi-retired, having retired from my first job.
Right.
Although I'm back working again. I'm trying to save my future. I'm trying to look after myself and my family in the future.
And do you think, lastly, as a saver... yeah, as a saver, do you think... As a saver, do you think you were hit yesterday, lastly, Neil?
Oh, yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, this does sense a lot. Neil, thank you. I'll let you get on with your day. We will continue. Coming up after the news, for one headline writer, it's a budget with a Labour heart. For another, it's a budget for Benefit Street Britain. So who's going to referee on this?
The Chancellor delivered a budget with a string of tax raises, but has she committed foul play? I'm Nigel Owens, former International Rugby Union referee, and I'll be speaking to Nick later in the show.
Any excuse to get Nigel on the radio, I'll give it. And in the next hour... Are you ready? Are you ready for love? Yes, I am. It's revealed Sir Elton John catches up with showbiz pals such as Sir Paul McCartney online so he can zoom in and see them. He's half blind. And he's not got a lot of hope for his other eye. We'll be giving you more details other than the next hour. It's 8:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Chancellor has told LBC her budget will put more money in people's pockets, despite raising taxes by £26 billion. The US has stopped processing immigration requests from Afghan nationals after two National Guard soldiers were shot in Washington. And three people have been arrested following a huge fire at a block of flats in Hong Kong. LBC weather: rain will develop across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays continue of about half an hour on the M25 anti-clockwise from Junction 14 at Heathrow to 12 at the M3. It was after that van was on fire earlier, although all the lanes are now back open. In Leighton, the high road remains closed both ways. That's following an accident. And in central London, it's very busy, with Southampton Road being closed both ways after that fire yesterday. On Battersea Bridge, there are delays northbound after that bus broke down, although all the lanes are now back open. On the trains, Chiltern Railways are running between Marylebone and West Ruislip. Great Western Railway remains suspended between West Ealing and Greenford. And no service on the Piccadilly line again today between Rayners Lane and Uxbridge.
This is LBC.
Roll up, it's time for the raffle.
Oh, everything costs a fortune these days. Even my mobile bill.
Well, yeah, you're with a big mobile network. I'm with Lebara. Their prices haven't gone up since 2020 and they're rated 5 stars on Trustpilot.
5 stars?
For customer service?
Yep.
Real people on the phone every day from 7am to 11pm.
And the winning number is 10!
No, from £5 a month.
Mubara, the smarter mobile network.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Waitrose presents...
I really fancy a mince pie.
One man's selfless journey from sofa to kitchen.
I'm getting up.
For a number one golden mince pie with juicy golden raisins, cherries and apricots and zesty limoncello.
With some cream.
For a number one golden mince pie with juicy golden raisins, cherries and apricots, zesty limoncello and a dollop of fresh cream.
Limoncello.
Waitrose, the home of food lovers. Selected stores subject to availability.
The Hilton sale is now on, and thankfully it doesn't sound like this. Instead, our sale sounds a bit more like this.
Welcome back.
With a warm welcome, spacious rooms, central locations, and up to 20% off your stay. You can swap chaos for comfort this winter. Book now at Hilton.com. Hilton, for the stay. Offer subject to availability across participating hotels. Terms and conditions apply.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. Or wobbly, or wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Actually, this is very relaxed.
George is up the river cam without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thameslink Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thameslink Railway, where every stop is a story.
Do you know your state pension age? No. Maybe you're not sure, or you don't know how to check. It's so quick and easy to check online. All you need is your date of birth. Knowing your state pension age helps you think about your future. So check yours today. Search state pension age on gov.uk and simply enter your date of birth. State pension age. It's good to know.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
8:49, back to our conversation about Rachel from Accounts. Fair or unfair, playing the woman and not the ball. But we need to get a fair verdict on something else. To which headline should we subscribe? The Daily Express, a budget for Benefit Street, paid for by working people. Or the Daily Mirror, a budget with a Labour heart. And also, what of the Chancellor herself? Well, almost a year ago to the day, here is Rachel Reeves promising not to raise taxes again.
I'm really clear, I'm not coming back with more borrowing or more taxes. And that is why, at this budget, we did wipe the slate clean to put public finances and public services on a firm footing. And as a result, we won't have to do a budget like this ever again. And indeed, unlike the last government, I will only be doing one budget a year so that this government can focus on what our number one priority is, and that's growing the economy.
Well, the words head of the pin and dancing come to mind, because not taxes, but thresholds.
Today I am asking everyone to make a contribution. The previous Conservative government froze personal tax thresholds from 2021 to 2028. And today I will maintain all income tax and equivalent national insurance thresholds at their current level for a further 3 years from 2028.
So who do we get to judge this? Well, how about the finest referee to ever go on a rugby or football pitch? Umpire had he chosen cricket. I speak of the great Nigel Owens, former international rugby union referee, who has just finished doing the Autumn Internationals for S4C, and he'll be with the BBC team for the Six Nations. Nigel joins me now. You know I find any excuse in the world to get you on the wireless, Nigel, because I'm such a huge fan and I've missed you. Oh, there he goes.
Nick, I'm in full kit for you today. I'm in my referee kit. This doesn't come out often. It only comes out on charity events. This is not a charity programme, I know, but I'm in my kit for you today.
Oh, bless you, Nigel. We missed you so much this autumn at Twickenham. It's not the same. You were the best in show. But here we go. Is she really bending the truth? If this was taking place, 13 blokes or women throwing themselves into each other, what would Nigel's adjudication have been?
Yeah, now, see, what you want is from players and coaching spectators, one from referees, is they want clarity before the game. So when you meet with the coaches and the captains in the change rooms the day before the game, they will ask you, how are you going to referee certain areas of the game? So you will tell them, I'm going to be strong with this. I'm going to be strong with this. Oh, yeah, no, I'm happy the way that you play that. So they want clarity. And when you start and blow that whistle, they expect you to referee the game exactly the way that you discuss them. You are going to approach certain things in the game. So when we see the buzzword from all the politicians, now the buzzword is, for some reason this year, let me be clear. Now, as a player, you want the referee to be clear. So has the Chancellor actually refereed the budget in the way she told the players that she would? And she's, I think, gone about things in a bit more quiet way than I think they expected them to. But she still hasn't refereed it consistently the way the players were expecting. So from a referee point of view, Nick, I'm going to send her to the bunker to see if she's going to get a yellow card, if it's going to be a play on, or if it's going to be a red. And as an ex-referee, Nick, I am qualified to make this decision. So based on that decision, I'm going to give the Chancellor a yellow card. But, Nick, and this is the but.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I am also a farmer. And because I'm a farmer, I am giving her a red card, a 20-minute red card. So she's got some leeway to try and adjust things. Sure, she's not a straight red, but a 20-minute red.
Remind everybody what you farm, Nigel.
I farm pedigree Herefords, Nick. So when I finish the deal, I'm going out in the wind and the rain to feed the cattle.
And you and your fellow farmers, genuinely, it is tough at the moment. Not just the Chancellor, just prices and the increase in fuel and just about everything else. It's a tough, tough gig. Well, it's always been a tough gig, but it's tougher than usual. Nigel.
It is, because it fluctuates so much, you see, Nick. And yes, look, don't get me wrong, as a beef farmer, the prices of beef are pretty good at the moment, but the cost of rearing them and stuff has gone up. Diesel, fuel, fertilizer, and obviously the big issues with the inheritance tax, because what people don't realise, majority of the people will be affected by this, which are your family farms, it's the wealth is in the asset. The cash flow is not what they think it is. And for that reason, a lot of farmers are gonna go to the wall, and a lot of farmers are going to really, really struggle. And that burden to the next generation of having to pay a huge tax bill where they haven't got the money to pay it, what they've got is the asset. So which means they'll have to sell away some of what's making the money to pay for it, and then they're not going to be making the money. Crazy.
Nigel, before I let you climb in your Land Rover or get on your tractor, I've got to just ask a quick word. What do you take from the Autumn Internationals for the home nations, and what does it mean for the Six Nations you'll be working for the BBC next year, Nigel?
Yeah, some great rugby, I have to say. Yeah. England looked very, very good. Wales showed promises, especially against New Zealand. A lot of work to do again. Main thing for me, Nick, too much TMO intervention, too much technology. Really? Yeah. Let's reduce that, get that down, get the players to change their behaviour, get those tackles lower, get the tackles cleaner, and then we can all talk about the rugby instead of talking about red and yellow cards or 20-minute red cards. But an enjoyable autumn overall, I have to say.
Be safe on the farm. We missed you at Twickenham. Nigel Owens, thanks for being such a good sport. It was a yellow, but then it was converted to a red by Farmer Owens. Nigel Owens, former International Rugby Union referee, the best in class. Look, it's all coming in. Here we go, Kieran. I love Nigel. If you're a rugby bloke, I mean, you don't get any better. What have we got, 5 to 9? We do. Okay, let's get some more calls. Rachel from Accounts, fair or unfair? Oak Dinez has been hanging on forever in Oxford. Dinez, which is it in your view? Hello.
Hello, morning, Nick.
Hello, sir.
Good to speak to you.
Yeah.
So, I think I strongly believe it's misogynistic and flippant remark.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is, I don't know how you feel if I call you, or somebody calls you, Nick the Brick.
I hope you said, didn't you? Yes, okay. Nick the Brick. I have absolutely zero problems. I wouldn't have problems with any other word, except I'd have to, what they call, dump it. But I don't, you can call me pretty much whatever you, call me what you like.
No, I think it's the context as well. A lot of these terms seem to be reserved for left-leaning politicians. I never heard anybody calling Liz anything.
Boy George, Truss was likened to a lettuce.
You say that. Boy George isn't exactly the same context as...
What, to talk about his youth and inexperience and juvenile approach to stewardship of the economy?
I would have called him something else, but then it's just... We must remember... No, again, it's just, I think it's not the same way as masculine.
I mean, I'll be kind and say buffoon.
I think Boris the Buffoon is up there along with but he deserved it in a certain
but
context.
These are on the right. You just said it only happens to those on the left. I just mentioned George Osborne, Boris Johnson, Liz Truss as a lettuce. I mean, Margaret Thatcher, Theresa May. Where do you want me to stop?
No, I think this, in the context of this particular budget, it's a hard-fought one after 14 years. The key primary focus, in my opinion, is just to keep the country going. What I would be disappointed... I didn't hear this kind of terms when Liz Truss was in charge or something else.
I think you're conveniently ignoring the fact that a national newspaper likened her to a lettuce.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's true. Yeah, I give you that. I give you that, Nick. I know we get along quite well, so I give you that.
We do get along quite well. Sounded a bit like the rugby referee. Oh, I'll allow that one. Dinesh, look after yourself. Let's see. Dinesh says it's more because she, Rachel Reeves, is of the left, and that's why the slurs are piling in. Excuse me. I have tried to control this cold. I thought we got through it, but we will anyway. Frailty is not indulged. 3 to 9. David's in Hampstead. You're on the radio. David, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Great show.
That was very kind.
It's not misogynistic, because if you are being misogynistic or racist or anything else, you're singling someone out because of something. Now, Rachel Reeves did work in accounts at HBOS, so she is described as Rachel from accounts.
Right.
Keir Starmer, he is, you know, never hear Lego head Keir. And, you know, that doesn't make anyone racist or misogynistic or anything. And, you know, the fact is, they keep singling out Liz Truss, who's a woman, and Kwasi Kwarteng, who's a black man, and they keep singling them out for something.
Yes.
And they keep singling them out again and again and again. Now, if you single someone out for something, surely that would be racist or misogynistic. But they don't seem to acknowledge that. But instead what you have is Rachel from accounts, who's incompetent, and I say never hear Lego hair care. And you know, and they just, they hide behind these things. They hide behind the fact that, no, that's offensive. But it's not offensive just to call someone a name. As you pointed out very, very nicely, Boris Johnson, love him or hate him, was called a buffoon, was called all sorts of cheat, a liar, all these kinds of things. Now, does that mean these people are, I don't know, pale-skinned and blondest or something? It's just, it's madness.
It's madness, says David. We must leave it there. David, thank you for that. We might return to that conversation, but David, thank you. We will move on, and we're going to start moving away from budget coverage. But there is one final element that we do need to explore, which is the sense that if you are part of Alarm Clock Britain, do you feel you're paying for Benefit Street Britain? We will explore that more. Plus, Donald Trump in the headlines again, calling a female New York Times reporter ugly after she dredged up health rumours about him, the president. Plus, on the close-up time to dance. So, which is the producer's favourite Elton John track here. I battled for I'm Still Standing and I failed. The sad news is that Elton John has to hold Zoom meetings to talk to friends such as Sir Paul McCartney. Blind in one eye, sight in the other, not so good. We'll give you more details on that after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, the Chancellor has told LBC that she stands by her tax-hiking budget, promising it'll put more money in people's pockets. It included a freeze on income tax thresholds, meaning 1.7 million people will find themselves paying more. The Conservatives say she should resign for breaking a promise not to come back for more taxes. Speaking to Nick, Rachel Reeves did admit it'll have an impact.
I do recognise that is asking working people to contribute a little bit more, but we've managed to keep that to an absolute minimum by bearing down on waste and inefficiency in public spending with further efficiency targets and concrete measures announced yesterday, why we are taxing the gambling companies a bit more, why we're asking people in expensive properties to pay a bit more.
Speaking to LBC, Ms Reeves also defended scrapping the two-child benefit cap, saying it'll help lift tens of thousands of young people out of poverty. It's been welcomed by Labour backbenchers, but has been fiercely criticised by the Conservatives. Speaking to LBC, the Shadow Chancellor, Sir Mel Stride, accused Rachel Reeves of hiking taxes to pay for welfare.
I just think a very, very poor budget. We've seen now a lot of increases in taxes, breaching the Labour Party's manifesto on hard-working people. And where is that money going? Well, quite a lot of it's going on paying for higher benefit bills, so keeping people on benefits. The OBR themselves says it will lead to 25,000 more people going onto benefits as a direct consequence of...
In other news this morning, President Trump says the shooting of two National Guard soldiers near the White House was a monstrous act of terror. The two victims are in a critical condition. The suspect, thought to be from Afghanistan, was also shot and injured. Immigration requests relating to all Afghan nationals have been suspended. Firefighters in Hong Kong say they brought a fire in a series of flats under control in four tower blocks. Three other buildings are still alight. More than 50 people have died. Hundreds are still missing. And a panel of experts are expected to decide later whether to recommend a screening programme for prostate cancer in the UK. The advice will be considered by the government. Former Prime Minister Lord Cameron is among those calling for men to be checked for the disease. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 3.96.94. The pound buys $1.32 and a euro 19. LBC weather, rain developing across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Christmas is coming. You're either hosting the crowds at home.
They'll be here.
Or driving to guest at the in-laws, streaming movies in the front room, or cartoons in the backseat, prepping the party playlist, or making your way on maps.
Rerouting again.
So whether you're hosting or guesting, you need the UK's best mobile network and broadband technology. EE does more.
UK best network. Root metrics data H125. Full fibre is the UK's most reliable broadband technology. Ofcom's broadband terminology research, March 2023. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after nine, Thursday, November the 27th. As we move to wrap up our budget coverage, it is the suggestion, and I'll say it again, and I put it directly to the Chancellor in the second hour of the show, or sort of around 8 o'clock, actually, is Alarm Clock Britain paying for Benefit Street? We'll give you the clip of her response and ask you if you think that is the reality. In other news, the NHS doctor suspended for backing October the 7th. In a series of posts, she said that Israelis, quote, were worse than the Nazis. Suspension of 15 months, is that enough? And Sir Elton, you may be still standing, but you're almost not still seeing. Blind in one eye, vision going in the other. He says he's hopeful that science can perhaps treat him. We'll be speaking to an expert. And have you ever had sight in some way restored through cataracts or whatever it might have been, operations such as that? It's later in the hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
We are, as I say, starting to move towards the end of the budget coverage, but one of the probably most live element is where the money was handed out. For instance, if you recall, at one point the Chancellor said, I am asking everyone to make a contribution. Well, where's the contribution coming from if, in fact, you are on benefits? Now, if you're trying to get yourself off and you're trying to get a job, and later today you will be out there, as young Cody was, walking around shopping centres in Milton Keynes trying to get a job in retail. Good luck to the young man. I wish you nothing but good luck, good fortune. But as a result of yesterday's measures, an additional 780,000 low earners will be dragged into paying income tax. More than 900,000 middle earners will end up in the higher rate, and 4,000 will be caught up in the upper 45p rate. In part, all this, to scrap the two-child benefit cap. And as I say, why shouldn't families who are living on welfare or benefits have the same pressures or questions to ask should they choose to bring in more children? Why is it wrong that families in benefit don't face the same financial choice? But let's listen back to a bit of what we heard. Despite the promise not to raise taxes after last year's budget, the Chancellor did decide to pick the pockets of many working people, talking about dragging those, in total, 1.7 million into higher tax bands until 2030.
Today I am asking everyone to make a contribution. The previous Conservative government froze personal tax thresholds from 2021 to 2028.
And today I will maintain all income tax and equivalent national insurance thresholds at their current level for a further 3 years from 2028.
Ouch for many of you, hundreds of thousands of you. But good news for those who claim benefits with this announcement on what's called the two-child benefit cap, something Labour backbenchers have been urging the Chancellor to do.
And so because I am tackling fraud and error in our welfare system, because I am cracking down on tax avoidance, because I am reforming gambling taxation, I can announce today, fully costed and fully funded, the removal of the two-child limit in full from April. That. It's amazing what people get so angry about, and we've seen their true colours today. The thing they get angry about is lifting children out of poverty.
I thought the Deputy Speaker did a fine job, by the way, Nusrat Ghani. She emerged as a real powerhouse, didn't she? Anyway, back to this. Now, there's a lot of commentary that the reality of why the Chancellor did that is not so much to shore up the finances, but to shore up support for both her and Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Remember, they couldn't get through really the most mild of welfare reforms earlier this year. So the position of the Labour Party was pretty clear. They want the cap scrapped. Here's what Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch had to say about the choice to hike taxes on working people, while, of course, increasing the spiring benefits bill, responding to the budget yesterday.
Labour are hiking taxes to pay for welfare. Yeah. This is a budget for Benefit Street, Madam Deputy Speaker, paid for by working people. This budget increases benefits for 560,000 families by an average of £5,000. They are hiking taxes on workers, pensioners and savers to pay for handouts to keep their backbenchers quiet. These are the same, yes, they can chanter all they like. These are these same backbenchers, Madam Deputy Speaker, who cheered last year when she taxed jobs and left more than 100,000 people without an income. They cheered because they didn't understand the consequences of what they were doing, and they still don't.
Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch, I would suggest possibly one of her finer performances. Now, I had the opportunity earlier in the show to speak with Chancellor Rachel Reeves, and I did ask if she's convinced her decision to scrap the benefit cap would lift children out of poverty.
Well, this puts more money in the pockets of low-income families. And when you talk to teachers about the poverty that many children are experiencing, when you talk to nurses and those who work in the health service, when you go to food banks and see working parents turning up at a food bank because after the rent, after the energy bills, doing those things, there's not enough money for the essentials. And so I'm not going to make any apologies for lifting kids out of poverty. We've got a welfare system that writes off too many people as too sick to work and writes off too many kids before they even have a chance.
But we understand people are signing up now at a rate of about £5,000 a day, and I read that those in benefit, there could be a lift. 560,000 families will get an extra £5,310 per year. This is alarm clock Britain paying for Benefit Street, isn't it, Chancellor?
Well, as I've just said, 60% of the people who benefit from this that have parents in work. And I don't think children should be punished by this pernicious policy any longer. And the cost to society of this is huge. You know, the cost for councils of temporary accommodation when people can no longer afford the rent, putting families in B&Bs, kids having to move school all the time because parents are moved from one B&B to another lot of temporary accommodation. And this costs for years to come because all the evidence shows that kids that are growing up poor are less likely to get into work and more reliant on the welfare state in the future for them. So this is a good investment in those kids to give them the chances that I want for my kids and everyone wants for their kids. And it also saves money for taxpayers on that accommodation, on those additional health costs, and ensuring that those kids grow up to be productive adults contributing to society.
That was the Chancellor speaking with me earlier in the show. Coming to your calls, Jennifer, J.J. in Kent, my next-door neighbour has never worked a day in her life has three kids that sit around smoking and playing computer games while my wife and I go out to work, and it makes me sick. But no, the party I voted for are going to make it easier for the welfare state. Steve, also in Kent, you're bang on highlighting people, and there are very many of them. Benefits are not taxed and hence not sharing the burden. Well, remember, yesterday 5,000 people signed on, to use an old-fashioned expression. Today 5,000 people will sign on, and tomorrow another 5,000 will sign on. Some of whom will actively seek work, many of whom won't. And you have to ask yourself, how much longer we can take that? We will be moving towards a total benefit bill. Now, by the way, that does include pensions, of £100 billion by the next election. £100 billion. That's a fair chunk of what it costs to run the NHS. You have to ask yourself, this is in part sustained by freezing the tax thresholds. That means that you, if you were earning a certain amount of money and you did not, quite rightly, you did not pay tax because you're a low earner, now you will. How fair is that? And for some of you, not all of you, some of you will be paying that tax to allow people to have more children. Now, I'm all for making those with the broadest shoulders pay. I get that. I understand that. Mansion taxes, get the logic behind that. But to allow people who are making not a lot of money, 20, 30,000, to now suddenly find themselves being taxed, and in some instances now, you're going to go to a 40% tax rate, that can't be fair. Can it? Jennifer's in Ealing. Jennifer, you're on the radio. Hello.
I've long thought that people on benefits should pay tax. It's like an unearned income, the same as your savings is, which you pay tax on. Mm. The pensioners who have got a pension of more than 12,000, they pay tax.
I think you do pay tax on your old age pension, don't you? I think you do.
Yes, right? You do. That's
yeah, right.
Saying,
oh, right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
So therefore, we've heard there's a few people in the country, well, not more than a few, going to be getting £14,000 more for their child benefit.
Yeah.
So why can't these people, and they're also getting lots of perks like their rent paid or their free this, free that, free the other. Mm-hmm. So why can't those people, if they equate to the same tax that someone on a low wage is paying tax, why can't their unearned income be taxed as the benefit? Why can't that be taxed? And also, that might encourage them to actually go and find a job. But why you keep throwing things at people who've never worked and never want to work? I'm not talking about disabled people people who vary, because that is a different, question. But it's absolutely ridiculous. And at the end of the day, we're going to have about 10% of this country will be working to pay for the 90% that aren't.
Yep.
And it's absolutely getting ridiculous. And I think that this has all been done just to placate her backbenchers.
Totally right.
So that perhaps they'll lay off Keir Starmer or something.
I think you're totally right.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, because people should be paying their way, whoever they are.
Totally agree with you. Jennifer, thank you. Now, of course, the lazy way to characterise this is that we're punching down on poor people and it's a tackleman. That is to ignore the salient fact that Jennifer has just brilliantly espoused, which is all they're doing now is people who really are on Struggle Street, they've just placed them that they're going to be paying income tax, which they've never paid before. And in part, that is to pay for people who are on benefits, some of whom, not all, have no intention of ever getting a job. For instance, 560,000 families will get an extra £5,310 a year, paid for, in some cases, by putting someone who's making 20 grand paying a high rate of tax. Tell me why that person, who's earning not a startling salary, is now supporting someone, giving them an extra £5,310 to have more children. I don't get the logic. 9:15, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Chancellor has told LBC that she stands by her tax-hiking budget, promising it'll put more money in people's pockets. President Trump says the shooting of two National Guard soldiers near the White House was a monstrous act of terror. And a panel of experts are expected to decide later whether to recommend a screening programme for prostate cancer in the UK. LBC weather: rain will develop across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Still delays of about 20 minutes on the M25 anti-clockwise from junction 14 at Heathrow to 12 at the M3. It was after a van was on fire earlier. Also, delays continue in central London in Holborn. Southampton Row remains closed both ways after that fire yesterday. And as a result, there are lengthy delays around Russell Square on the Kingsway and also around High Holborn. Also, delays in Leighton. The High Road is closed in both directions and that's following an accident. Battersea Bridge is all open now northbound after that bus broke down earlier, but it's still very busy. On the trains, Chiltern Railway aren't running between Marylebone and West Ruislip, and Great Western Railway can't run between West Ealing and Greenford, and this is all down to a signal failure.
This is LBC.
When you buy a BMW approved used electric car, there are no surprises. You'll find the largest range and the widest choice. Naturally, every car has been meticulously checked by qualified BMW technicians. Hardly a plot twist. And they always come with a battery health report and at least 12 months unlimited mileage BMW warranty. Just as you'd expect. BMW approved used electric cars. Nothing new here. Search BMW approved used electric. Obviously.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
With over 50 years' experience, at Fidelity, we believe there's a difference between investing and being invested. Investing is having access to guidance, tools, and expert insights. Being invested means feeling confident about your future. Investing is choosing from a wealth of investment options. Being invested means focusing on your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, be truly invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
The congestion charge helps to reduce traffic in central London. To ensure it remains effective while incentivising the switch to electric vehicles, from the 2nd of January, electric cars will be charged a 25% discounted rate of £13.50 rather than the new daily charge of £18. To receive the discount, electric cars must be registered on AutoPay. Further discounts are available for other electric vehicles. Search TfL AutoPay. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
You're already looking at the Galaxy S25 Ultra. Top-tier specs, powered by Galaxy AI with pro-grade camera. And now you can save £250 thanks to our incredible Black Friday event. The upgrade you want and the best deals you probably hadn't expected. But let's not hang around. This deal won't. The Galaxy Black Friday event is on right now. Buy yours at Samsung.com. Purchase from Samsung.com by the 2nd of December.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Don't know who coined it. It's a clever idea, though. Alarm clock Britain picking up the tab. Callum's in Peebles on the borders. Callum, your Nick, take on this. Morning.
Oh, Nick, good morning. 8 years a listener, first-time caller.
Oh,
and
thanks,
today,
buddy.
You're my therapist.
Well,
you've got to be my therapist today.
OK. I'll send you a bill, an invoice.
Yeah.
What do you take from yesterday? Are you part of Alarm Clock Britain?
We voted for this clown show, Nick. Can you believe it? The nation voted for it. And yeah, I run my own business. I was 13 years in the army, and I run my own business. And Rachel from accounts, and she's earned that name, she wants me to carry more water for more of those that are refusing. And it's not on. We hear so often the most important people in our society are the vulnerable.
Yes.
No, they're not. The most important people are the ones that make the money, that make the show work. That's we need to keep them and reward them. Otherwise, we won't do it. We'll disappear. Or we'll just stop.
People and there wasn't would say anything to you, yesterday Callum, why are you punching down, is what people would say to you.
Why am I punching down?
Yeah.
It's as if by punching down, I'm saying I'm not Christian or charitable. The only way this works, the only way we pull everyone out of the hole, is if we get more people being successful. Growing the pie, as you might say. But if we get more people being successful, there will be more money, we will raise living standards, and everyone rises. But it doesn't work. It's just not the way it works to say, well, actually, let's just throw more money down the way, to go on with your metaphor. Let's just throw more money down the way. It's a black hole. It doesn't produce anything.
What levers can a chancellor pull to help create growth, would you say, speaking as a businessman?
Make the economy attractive. How do you make the UK a good bet? Because right now we're a terrible bet. Who would invest their money in UK PLC? Could you imagine investing your money in the NHS?
No,
you'd be a mug.
I'm going into Dubai or somewhere like that, I think, is
right.
The reality.
So you need to make it a good bet for investment. How do you do that? Yes, you've got to cut red tape. Yes, you've got to reduce taxes. Yes, you've got to reward success and dangle the carrot. But we don't do that. Instead, we're saying, actually, those who carry the most water, the broadest shoulders need to carry the burden, you're going to have to carry more. I'll give you an analogy, right? When I was in the army, I'm a big bloke. I'm 6 foot ten, right? And I was always told, yeah, I'm a big lad, big lad. And I was, or I should say 2 meters ten, because we're metric. And I was always told, Callum, you're carrying the big gun, right? Because you're the biggest bloke.
Right.
And I get that. But do you know what it did? It slowed me down. So I couldn't be leading the charge. I couldn't be at the front. No. It slowed me down. So every broad shoulders, set of broad shoulders, you have to carry more. You slow them down. That's
what
the implication, the impact
analogy.
Of it.
How many years did you serve, Callum?
13 years across the British and the Australian armies. And I'm now back in the UK and Peebles running my own wee business.
And what is, do you want to tell us what your business, and not literally its name, but what line are you in?
So I sell advanced manufacturing equipment around the world to different defence forces.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's pretty niche. It's
okay.
Pretty niche.
Okay.
All right. And you know the last thing I want to do, Nick, because of this government, the last thing I want to do, employ anybody more. Employ anyone else.
Sure. Would you have done, had it been more attractive, had NI not been hiked, had some kind of employer growth scheme been devised, would you have looked to expand and maybe take on another person?
Stop it, Nick. That's far too sensible. Stop.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for the analogy. I like that idea with the big gun. And thank you for your call. Callum, I look forward to speaking to you again. I have to get on to get other callers. And we want to look at other stories because we are, as I say, coming towards the end of our budget coverage. So we turn to arguably one of the greatest musical stars this nation's ever produced. It is, of course, Sir Elton John with the troubling news that he has to catch up with showbiz pals, including Sir Paul McCartney and Brandy Carlile, so he can zoom in on them now that he's half blind. He's 78 now. Goodness me. Sir Elton says he's lost the sight in his right eye. His left is not so good. But he's optimistic. Someday science will help me with this one. Sir Elton says it's been devastating. The last 15 months have been challenging because I haven't been able to see anything, watch anything or read anything. You just have to grin and bear it. It gets me down sometimes. I've had the most incredible life, and there is hope. I've just got to be patient. Let's bring to the conversation Daniel Hardiman McCartney, who's clinical advisor to the College of Optometrists. So Sir Elton talks about there being hope. How sometimes, not necessarily in Sir Elton's case, because we don't know the condition, so we're just sort of, you know, tilting at windmill, but things such as cataracts, there are extraordinary advances have been made to help with people's vision, haven't they? Can I call you Daniel, just for purpose?
Yeah, yeah. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, Daniel. I mean, there are incredible advances that have been made in your particular line, aren't there? Morning to you.
There's huge advances, technological advances being made all the time in eye care, and actually the UK is one of the leading centres globally for research in eye care. The teams at Moorfields in London, UCL and in Moorfields are pushing things forward. But, you know, Sir Elton John isn't only a music legend, he's an icon, one of the world's most iconic spectacle wearers as well. So it really took some bravery and courage for him to come forward and say how difficult he's finding this transition to visual impairment. Now, it was about a year ago, I think, he first said that he was affected by a severe eye infection. And many of your listeners may be surprised to know that actually an eye infection, red, sticky eye, can sometimes be so serious that it can lead to sight loss and permanent visual impairment. Now, there's lots of things available, even things in people's mobile phones, devices on TVs that make things more accessible and easier to live with visual impairment and sight loss. But nonetheless, it still takes a lot of time, commitment from family, friends, as Sir Elton John has mentioned, to actually manage this transition. So he will be needing the support of his friends and family, emotional support, despite all the technological things around him, like voice-activated phones, making things larger, devices to read music if you're visually impaired, all of these things. It will still be a very tough transition.
You mention eye infections, Daniel. Are they like colds, which I think have got at the moment? You just catch them. There's nothing you can do. Or are there preventative measures that you can take?
You're absolutely right. So condition called conjunctivitis is very common. Eye infections are very common. You've probably had red eye, pink eye. Lots of people have. So they're very common. But some of them can be very serious. And there's three really serious ones that we're concerned about. There's one called acanthamoeba, which only affects about 50 people in the UK every year. It's an infection that people get from the water, normally from cleaning their contact lenses in tap water or getting in their eyes. And that is a really serious condition that can cause permanent visual impairment. There's another condition called keratitis, which could be viral, it could be bacterial, it could be due to abrasion, and that's when you get a scar on the clear surface of the front of your eye called the cornea, and that can lead to visual impairment. And with that condition, it's really vital that you get the right treatment very quickly to reduce the risk of visual impairment. And then there's another condition called uveitis, where you get inflammation inside the eye as well. Now, as you said, we don't know which one it is, but actually the rule of thumb for all of your listeners is the same. If you have a red, painful eye, do not ignore it. Right. Go and visit your optometrist. They'll look at your eyes with a special microscope, work out whether it's a really common one that would get better on its own, whether it's one that needs a little bit of help from a drug treatment, or a serious one, in which case they can fast track you to the right specialist centre, if it were acanthamoeba, for example, to have specialist treatment to reduce your risk of visual impairment.
Lastly, outside of those infections, as it were, as you get older, do your eyes just get a bit more tired? Do they effectively work? It's like a car, you know, as you get older, everything's not going to... My eyes are not going to be as good as they were when I was 14. Is that the case?
Yeah, you're right. So as you get older, you need more light to see things. You need to make things larger. You know, from the age of 40 onwards, you need magnifying reading glasses.
They used to call it the A to Z. I don't think you're old enough, but there used to be something called the A to Z. And I remember the first time I went to an optician, he said, "Have you had trouble reading an A to Z?" Which was a roadmap, and it gave you all the streets to London. That's when you start to know, when you can't actually get... You can't see the road anymore.
It's true. And actually, what your listeners may be surprised to know is actually in England at the moment, there's a postcode lottery. So if your listeners in Wales or Scotland, any eye condition, they can go straight to their optometrist. The NHS will cover that appointment. But in England, actually, it's mixed up. So about 20% of areas in England don't have this urgent service. So if you're affected by an eye problem, you can't go and see your local high street optometrist with the specialist equipment. You have to go to your GP or A&E. And that's just a really bad use of resources. So we are calling on the government to say, actually, have universal access for eye care across England, so optometrists are the first point of contact for any eye problem, like in Wales and Scotland. And that will mean that if you're affected with symptoms like Elton John has, then you don't need to wait for hours. You don't need to be taking up precious GP appointments for your eye care or going to A&E. Just pop to your local optometrists, get the right differential diagnosis and the right treatment straight away. So we hope the government will actually do something about that postcode lottery issue when it comes to eye care.
Yep. Great speaking with you, Daniel. Thank you. Daniel Hardiman-McCartney, Clinical Advisor to the College of Optometrists. Now, before that call, I was speaking with Callum, who used the analogy of carrying the big gun slowed him down. This is Ian from Bolton, ex-serviceman and modern-day ICU charge nurse. He says, great analogy there, but as another ex-squaddy, by slowing him down, you're making those smaller more mobile and more effective, thereby making your whole force more effective together as a team. Love hearing from you, ex-military blokes and women. Asha, I'm going to hear from you the other side of the news when we come back to this conversation, and we will conclude our budget coverage. Of course, if, by the way, you've had any of those eye conditions, and we should wish in Sir Elton, obviously, you've got to love the positivity. A bloke who's 78, lost the sight in one eye, not so good in the other, but he's convinced someday science will help. I love that positivity. So if you've had those, or you've had cataract surgery and suddenly vision came back, what an extraordinary thing that must be. But Asha, you'll be the next caller as we explore the idea of Alarm Clock Britain, picking up the tab from yesterday. 9:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrar, on LBC. News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The Chancellor has told Nick that she stands by her tax hiking budget, promising it'll put more money in people's pockets in the long term. It included a freeze on income tax thresholds, meaning 1.7 million people will find themselves paying more. The US has suspended all immigration requests relating to people from Afghanistan after a shooting near the White House. Two National Guard soldiers are in a critical condition. A suspect, an Afghan national, has been detained. And a panel of experts are expected to decide later whether to recommend a screening programme for prostate cancer in the UK. The advice will be considered by the government. LBC weather: rain will develop across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
This is LBC.
We all want to live well and age well. That means having independence and positive choices to enjoy the life we choose. That's what Elmbridge in Cranley is all about. A place of fun, a friendship, in a hive of activity. But above all, it's a place to put your independence and well-being first. To find out more about Elmbridge in Cranley, visit our website today at retirementvillagers.co.uk/Elmbridge.
Find your complete Christmas at Squires with everything you need all in one place. Visit our Christmas shop to choose your favourite real or artificial tree. Add a sparkle to your home with thousands of beautiful decorations, indoor and outdoor lighting, and find lots of amazing gifts to suit everyone. You can also join us for Christmas lunch, meet Santa for breakfast, or visit his magical grotto. Online booking required. To see our range or find your nearest centre with free parking, visit squiresgardencentres.co.uk.
Great to see you back at Specsavers. Okay, could you read out the letters on the wall for me?
Yep. D-E-A-L-S? Yeah, D-E-A-L-S. Deals.
Oh, right. Our Black Friday deals are eye-catching, but the letter chart's over here.
Oh, sorry.
At Specsavers, we've got all sorts of unmissable Black Friday deals, like up to £50 off one pair of designer glasses. Offer ends on 7th of December 2025. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Who's picking up the cheque for all the moves? No, there were no tax rises, but my goodness, there was a sleight of hand, wasn't there? What was it that one newspaper said today? High taxes. What was it? Let me get that headline again. High taxes, that's right. And who's going to pay? Or is another one? High welfare, high tax. Hi-ho, no silver lining. Asha's in Hendon. Asha, what do you want to say? Good morning.
Hi. I'm just so annoyed about all this. I don't even know where to start. But
what annoys you the most?
Labour is supposed to be all about creating a fair society. Mm-hmm. I just think now is anything but fair. I'm saying to your...
colleague, yep.
So when my daughter goes to school, there's a few parents not working. I've spoken to people and they... You know, it's almost like, well, if I get a job, I would like to work. If I get a job, I'll have to after school care, and I'll have to. I don't know what I'll do in the school holidays, and I don't know if I'm.
Hello, you don't know if Asha. No, one last try, Asha. Oh Lord, try and get Asha back on another line, guys, while we go to the Shetland Isles and Rob. You're on the radio. Thank you for holding. What do you want to say to the budget yesterday?
I'd like to speak on the budget, but since you spoke about Elton John, I didn't know that was coming up, and I'm totally blind, and I've lost my eyesight through my working life. I wouldn't mind on making a comment on that.
Please.
And it is that Elton is going through what we call a bereavement period. It's like, you know, you have an accident, something fundamentally changed. They call it a life-changing experience, etc. And, of course, during that, you want back what you had before.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with him saying what he's saying, Nick, I'm sorry, is that because he's so high profile, and I counselled families and other visually impaired people who are going through a process, it doesn't help if someone says things like there'll be an operation one day or there'll be a cure one day, because actually lots of families and lots of disabled people then actually base their lives on the fact that that will happen. And I don't think... But as I said, I'm not criticising him directly, because when I lost my eyesight, I did exactly what he did. I said, they tell me there's this, they tell me there's that. So it's just a process he's going through, you know? Unfortunately, for his age, I doubt... And I'm 61, but I doubt, you know, whatever he's wanting will be available, and maybe in his lifetime. So really, he's got to adapt and get on, you know?
How old were you when you lost your sight, Rob?
I went from being very badly partially sighted to being only having light perception over 3 days when I was 17.
Oh.
And God. I was sent to Moorfields Eye Hospital in London for them to turn the lights back on. And despite what your previous person said, Moorfields Eye Hospital used me as a guinea pig in the 60s and 70s, and my medical records that I can now see that they didn't know I would see back that up. So... You know, that's what happened to me, but it took me 10 years. It took me 10 years to adapt.
What level of counselling were you provided?
None at the time. Not in those days. Not in the 1980s.
You now help people. What do you tell them?
Yep. I tell people that they need, there's life is full of risks, and there's an element of risk whoever you are. So, for instance, some risks are worth taking and some aren't. So parents who won't let their visually impaired children go on public transport with their peer groups and insist on taxis to work, yes, that is undoubtedly absolutely much safer. However, what it does is segregate them from their peer group. And, you know, and so there are other methods like giving mobile phones out, such as so they can go to. So there are things that you can do that you should be doing that you should not be doing. It's not that you can't take part in recreational activities, you know, if you are a blind person, et cetera, or you can't do this, or you can't go to university. These things are all still out there, but they're accessed in a different way. It's more difficult. Don't get me wrong, Nick. I would suggest it's more difficult.
Yeah.
But, you know, we shouldn't be putting people off because, like, the main thrust of this, you know, your debate today and about the budget is that, you know, we want people to contribute. So really, we don't want to be putting people off at, you know, at a very young age that they can't do this or they can't do that.
Can I ask you a question? I hope it doesn't cause you any distress, and I'll apologise in advance if it does, and also wish I never asked it. But what do you miss most about not having vision?
I don't mind at all, Nick, because the people make assumptions rather than ask me. So I'd rather be asked. People say, oh, you must miss not being able to drive. I've never been able to drive, and I don't miss not being able to drive. But so, no, the things I miss is it's actually as simple as 80% of communication is not verbal. If you're
right?
With a person, it's visual.
Right? Good gracious.
So someone calls you an absolute idiot, but they call you with a smile on their face and they're a friend, you know?
Yeah.
Then you've seen that. But you don't see that if you're me. You just hear the words. Just a simple example.
Yeah.
And body language, not just facial, but body language is full stop. So I've been mugged 4 times. Not recently, but in my life. 3 times in London. But the point is that you could see that coming in some respects.
Were you targeted because you were blind, Rob? Were you targeted because you were blind?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
well, absolutely. And I actually ended up in court for the third event because I beat them to a pulp. And then I was told, you know, by that I'd used excessive violence. Fortunately, that didn't go anywhere near a court.
Right.
So, because I'm an ex-Paralympic athlete, and I could bench press 100 kilograms, but they wouldn't to know that, so I could pick up and literally launch them. But the point is now, even criminals have changed. Nick, you'd be lucky if they had a knife in the 80s in London. Now they could have anything, and they could be on anything.
Yeah, they could. Hey, I've got to get my skates on, but I want your take on the budget, Rob.
Right, well, this is where we are going to disagree. I don't disagree with removing the two child benefit cap, because 60% of those receiving are going to receive that are already in work. And either you've got to say then, why doesn't work pay? Because the government's accepted that they're trying to work. So why? What about those 60%? And also, I'd say to people out there for the grace of God go I, Nick. I have 4 children. I've got a well-paid job, and my wife's got a well-paid job. I don't. I'm just giving you a scenario.
Right.
And I lose my job.
Yeah.
I won't get. Then I lose my job through no fault of my own.
I hear you.
And then I go down.
But
yeah?
Rob, the point. I hear you. And you know that we must have sympathy and we must look after those people. But I do think that these welfare benefits should be a safety net, not a life form of lifestyle. I would argue with you there. And lastly, just think on this number, Rob: 780,000 low earners who currently do not make enough money to pay income tax will now be dragged in to paying income tax, so they will earn less. That can't be right.
Sorry, that's a different subject. I agree with you there. I don't agree with Rachel Smith, with what she's done in other areas of her budget.
This is in part to fund the two-child benefit cap. That will help. That will help give some families an extra 5,310 quid.
Well, you are right, but you must agree that she's also planning to borrow money for the next 3 years to pay the bills.
Well, remember, we spend 111. It's a very easy figure to remember, isn't it? 111 billion pounds a year just to service the debt. Rob, thanks. I love your positivity. I take on board totally what you say about Sir Elton. And good on you for doing the counselling to help folk who find themselves in that situation. Let's move on to get some more calls in. Awad's in Liverpool. Awad, you're on the radio. By the way, we can't get through to Ashu if you think I've ignored her. We've really tried, but the line is just not going to work. Awad, it's your turn. What do you want to tell me? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think this is something that's been done for her political survival. I think Rachel Reeves knows this is going to harm the economy. If you compare, you know, pre-COVID levels of welfare to levels of welfare now, if we at least even just got welfare down to where it was in 2019 or close to 2019, we'd be saving tens of billions of pounds.
Yeah.
And Reeves knew this because if you turn back last year, the SNP tabled a motion to remove the two-child benefit cap.
Yeah.
Labour suspended the whip from several of their MPs because they knew to push forward a policy...
Oh, well done. Yes.
...that would further add to an already ballooning welfare budget would be ludicrous.
Yes.
And, you know, since the rise of, you know, sort of utopian socialist parties like the Green Party or whatever... the Sultana's outfit is called now. Labour have been taking their decisions not from, you know, a financial forecast or from people who look at our current spending budget and realise that this is not sustainable. They've been taking it from people to their left because they are terrified and want to cling on to power.
Will it stop the noise? Excuse me. Will it stop the noises off, as they're called, Awad?
You mean the border electorate?
No, the problems in their backbenches, but literally behind Sir Keir and Rachel Reeves.
I think they'll quiet them down. I think they'll quiet them down for a year or two. The Labour Party calls itself a broad church, and you know, I'm a Conservative member now. I've switched over from Labour, and broad churches are good things. The broadest of churches, however, have to have walls,
right?
And you've got such a gulf where you've got one half of MPs who, you know, are reasonable, or at least realise that this is unsustainable deep down in their hearts. They've got another group of MPs who were elected in the 2019.
input. So, Awad, you're a Conservative in Liverpool. You're quite a solitary soul, then, aren't you, when you think about it?
No, I usually live in Barnet, but I'm here at the university.
Ah, right. Oh, so at university now, are you?
Yeah, I used to be a diehard lefty until a few months ago, actually.
What made you see the light? Pardon? What made you convert?
So, here's the thing. I felt alienated from the Labour Party, from the left side of the Labour Party. So I just said, you know what? I'm not probably going to disagree with this completely. But you know what? I'm going to take a good look at the Conservative Manifesto. And I found myself agreeing with it.
Okay.
And I had to sort of, as a diehard lefty, had to look back and almost at the start wanted to vomit. Because I was like, I'm agreeing with this. This is reasonable.
Awad, look after yourself. Thank you. Rudy's in Bournemouth. Rudy, your take on this Labour budget, their second budget in power. Morning.
The Labour Party hate the working people, personified, if I might, by Emily Thornberry and the way that she disparaged White Van Man.
This was a white van parked in Rochester in Kent, and it was covered in union flags, and the house that it was parked outside had a lot of union flags as well. Yeah, on you go.
Yeah, so they hate the working class. They hated them. Since the working class abandoned them in the 80s after the failed economic policies of the left in the 70s, which proved that socialist ideology is moribund. And after having abandoned the Labour Party for the Conservative Party, the Labour Party looked around for a voting base and decided upon the benefit class and the immigrant class. Of course, the problem with the immigrant class is, generally speaking, after a generation or two, they become relatively wealthy and abandon the Labour Party as well because they recognise that those economic policies are just doomed to failure, always doomed to failure. And so they end up voting for the other parties, which means in order to maintain their potential grip on power, they have to import more and more and more and more voters, the first generation of whom have multiple children and obviously benefit from the child benefit cap. It's a boondoggle that will never die, as far as the Labour Party are concerned, because they can just keep bringing in unlimited numbers of voters. the true population of the country is probably close to 100 million if you look at data from sewage companies, supermarkets, other organisations that show that the actual population of the country is dramatically higher than the pathetic 72 million which is courted around. And that's the reason why there's so much problems in the NHS. There's too many people. Well, there's so many problems on the roads. There's too many cars. Well, there's no housing. There's too many people.
A devastating critique from Rudy. But do you agree? Thanks for your input, sir. Let's see what others say. Just read this from Matt. My wife and I have always wanted three children. We have a beautiful girl and a handsome boy. Sadly decided it was too expensive to have a third. We made this hard decision so our other two could have a good upbringing. We've a joint income of around 100,000, but with mortgage, rates, council tax, energy costs, we could not justify it. We don't go on holiday every year, and we both drive cars that are 15 plus years old. We've never felt poorer. We're 37, both of us. You keep on working, mate. Don't you worry. But the two-child benefit cap's been lifted for the rest. How fair is that? 9:46 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to LBC, the Chancellor says she's incredibly proud of her budget, stressing it'll help working-class children live more fulfilling lives. President Trump says the shooting of two National Guard soldiers near the White House was a monstrous act of terror, and at least 55 people have been killed in a fire at a high-rise building in Hong Kong. LBC weather, rain across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. In central London, in Holborn, Southampton Row remains closed in both directions because of the fire that happened yesterday. The emergency works are taking place, but there are severe delays on all the surrounding routes. It's hardly moving around Russell Square and on the Kingsway and through High Holborn. In Leighton, the high road remains closed both ways, and that's because of an accident, and that's also causing delays. Only one Woolwich ferry is currently running. That's because of an ongoing technical problem. On the trains, Chiltern Railways, they can't run between Marylebone and West Ruislip, and the delays of about an hour on Great Northern and Thames Link services between Cambridge and Hitchin, and that's because a train broke down earlier. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo line.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
£26 billion of tax rises, £3 billion of which will go to the country's poorest children. So guess who you're being told to get angry with today?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or our new LBC app.
In her framing shop, Sally's got an eye for precision, plus a computer full of customer orders and precious memories. There are locks on the doors and sensors on the windows, but what's securing it all is BT Cybersecurity. With business antivirus, cloud protection, and security awareness training, it helps stop threats before they strike, keeping sensitive business data safe. Because protecting your business takes more than just toughened glass and a steady hand. Cybersecurity is everyone's business. Search BT Business Cybersecurity.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Great to see you back at Specsavers. Okay, could you read out the letters on the wall for me?
Yep. D-E-A-L-S? Yeah, D-E-A-L-S. Deals.
Oh, right. Our Black Friday deals are eye-catching, but the letter chart's over here.
Oh, sorry.
At Specsavers, we've got all sorts of unmissable Black Friday deals, like up to £50 off one pair of designer glasses. Offer ends on 7th of December 2025. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
How's the business going?
We're busier than ever, but struggling to get the staff we need.
Recruiting can be such a distraction. We gave Job Centre Plus a try, and they've really helped us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead easy. We got our own employer advisor, Julie, who helped advertise our jobs, shortlisted candidates for us, and let us interview at the Job Centre. We've hired some great people, and Job Centre Plus really took the hassle out of it. And there was no fee.
Brilliant. That's straight on my to-do list.
Find out more at business.gov.uk/recruit. Eligibility criteria apply.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Move away from the budget, talk about Sir Elton John. He has hope, and I take totally on board what we're hearing from Rob, that perhaps it's, in a sense, a state of denial, but I'm sure we'd all agree, let's hope science will come around, because he's virtually going blind. Lydia is in Clapham. Lydia, what can you tell me? Good morning.
Hello, good morning. I just wanted to flag up, after listening to your special eye man from the Royal College of Optometrists, whatever it was.
Yes.
And he listed, I think, three conditions that can affect, can bring on sight loss. But he didn't mention one that I had, so obviously I know about it, which GPs are a bit slow on the draw to identify. And it's called giant cell arteritis, GCA, or temporal arteritis, not arthritis, but arteritis.
Just so my listeners say, that's A-R-T-E-R-I-T-I-S, yep. Presumably.
In other words,
arteritis. Yeah, I've got it.
Artery.
Oh, of course, from the word artery, yep. Of course.
And it's vascular, whatever that's supposed to mean. Anyway, it affects...
the brain, isn't it? As in
more,
dementia, I think.
Yeah, yep. It affects more ancient people, and I'm one of those people, not quite as old as Elton John, but on the way.
Right.
And a lot of women, but it has all sorts of... pernicious effects as it creeps.
Vascular is the body's network of blood and lymph vessels, also known as the vascular or circulatory system. On you go, Lydia.
Well, it has these effects on you, and you don't know what's going on, and I felt generally pretty mouldy, and I had aches and pains, I had night sweats, and then finally my left eye started sort of flickering on and off, a bit like David Cameron and Cotswold Radio,
yes.
If you remember that one.
Yeah.
And then the right one started going wrong as well, so I took the bus down to A&E, and there I sat all day with my eye more or less sight despairing, and eventually, just when all hope was about to flee, and it was Friday night, a wonderful doctor called Dr. Block breezed into the tent where I'd been sitting for about 10 hours, not being able to see anything, and he asked me this crucial question: does your jaw ache when you eat? And I said, well, funny you should mention it. It does. And he said, right, I've got it. You need to have massive doses, intravenous or by mouth, within the next 15 minutes of steroids. Otherwise, once your sight's gone, you're a goner.
Wow.
So I did that. I mean, we got them. But just to say, it's GCA, or temporal arteritis, and, you do have to really watch it, because once your sight is gone, you're doomed.
How lucky were you to find... Was it Dr. Block or Mr. Block? I can't remember.
It was Dr. Block.
How lucky were you to find Dr. Block on the job?
I was very lucky indeed. But it's something that doesn't seem to be generally known about. And it wasn't on the list of your chap who talked. He did mention uveitis, which I also had.
Yes.
But you wouldn't necessarily think that your eye was going until it suddenly has gone.
Lydia, I have enjoyed our conversation. Gosh, they do say every day is a school day. Thank you. I've learnt a lot. We're staying with our conversation about Elton John. David's in Selsey Bill. Hello, David.
Hi, Nick. Morning to you.
How are you today?
Upset.
Why is that, sir?
I got wet macular degeneration. I've had it for over 3 years.
Did you say wet macular degeneration?
Wet. Yeah,
okay. Obviously, I've heard of macular degeneration. What does the wet aspect of that, then? What does that mean?
The eyes fill with blood at the back.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm having injections, been having injections now for 3 years in both eyes.
Oh, no. They don't put a needle in your eye.
Yes, I do.
Ah.
It actually sounds awful, but it's...
What do you mean? Of course it sounds awful. I mean, I don't even like that puff of dust they put in your eye at the optician. The idea is someone shoves a needle in there.
Well, they put that stuff that you have in the opticians about 10 times before they stick the needle in. Anyway, the reason I phoned, basically, was I also have cataracts. And one of the toys, I had my first cataract done in 3 months.
Right.
I'm now 2.5 years on.
Yes.
Under this Labour government, and I've traced the hospital... And traced the hospital, and finally I had an appointment to have my cataract done today.
Ah, okay. I mean, I just need to say 17 months of that was under Labour government. So you got an appointment today, did you say?
And it's just been cancelled.
Oh, no. Oh,
so,
God.
West Reaching, I don't know what's happening.
Have they given you another date?
They have, actually, the 8th of December.
Ah, okay.
It's another day, another week or so.
A little more, actually.
And I'm sorry, not being able to see, because the cataract interferes badly with the wet macular degeneration.
Oh, you poor bloke. So and what level of vision... David, what level of vision have you got currently?
I have vision, but it's all distorted. Well, the strange thing was, we rented a flat and they had a 75-inch TV in there.
Right.
And I saw the Grand National and I thought, that's wonderful. That will help me. So we got a 75-inch TV, right. And all it does is magnifies the distortion that I have.
Oh, so it's not working any longer. So you've got a 75-inch TV. All right, I'll give you 500 quid. No, I'm only kidding. So you've got a 75-inch TV. It's not any help to you at all?
I can't read the subtitles. I can't read what's on.
But, okay, sorry, just to clarify, lastly, after December the 8th, hopefully that will come back then if it goes well. Is that right?
No, it will improve my sight, hopefully.
All right. Let us know how you get on. And I hope to goodness that appointment isn't cancelled. Do let us know. Thank you, David. Excuse me. David, thank you. I've got time for one final call. And let's wrap up how we... Let's finish how we began, which is an assessment of the budget, particularly through business owners. Peter, you're in East Grinstead. All I have is a note that you're a business owner. Might I ask what kind of business you're in, sir? Good morning.
Good morning. Very nervous.
There's no need to...
Computer software.
Okay. House trade? House trade?
Completely non-existent, but that's probably, and that's part of what's the story I want to paint.
Please.
I set up the company in 1983.
Yep.
Very successful, always wanted to work from home because of wanting to be with my family and things like that, which I successfully did.
Yeah.
At times, we employed 12 people. We were household names. We did systems for BMA, Royal Opera House. So we were quite influential in the software we did.
Okay.
And about 2016, after having divorced through financial pressure, I just got to the point where I just, why bother?
And what did you take from yesterday, Peter? Because I have to come to my last minute or so. What did you take from yesterday?
Okay, I don't have a blame culture mind. So I see the idea of giving people... more child benefit if they got three children, etc. So I do see all that. But it's just, I suppose the best feeling I can give is one of sadness. Because people like me, and I have paid millions over the 42 years in tax, VAT, you name it, and my staff as well. And you get to a point where you're broken. You just think, sort of, why bother?
And that's where you feel as a result. I wish we had more time because you're exactly the sort of people that we'd like to... I appreciate your business is 40 years old, but that we need to get encouraged to start businesses, but it's a rather gloomy forecast. Peter, look after yourself. If you missed today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. You stay up to date with the latest news and opinion and put the news categories in the order you want. And pause and rewind live radio. Download the LBC app for free from your app store now. I'm done. James O'Brien's the other side of the news on LBC. I'll be with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and I wonder whether you can see how it works yet. A tiny proportion of families who receive universal credit, almost half of whom are, of course, in work, will now receive a modest payment for some of the poorest children in the country. That is $3 billion out of a tax rise of $26 billion. And, of course, the fiscal problems that the country faces are caused by the hat-trick of horrors, Boris Johnson being in charge for COVID, Brexit and austerity. So if you were in the business of punting those three things, if you were essentially in hock to wealth and the Tories who brought the country to its knees, who would you be going after today? Spoiler alert, it's the most vulnerable children in the country.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the Chancellor has admitted to LBC that her budget tax rises will impact working people, but stressed they're fair and necessary. Rachel Reeves announced tax rises totalling £26 billion a year by 2030 yesterday. The Conservatives say she should resign for breaking a promise not to come back
for more taxes. But speaking to LBC this morning, Ms Reeves says other measures will ease that burden.
We are taxing the gambling companies a bit more, while we're asking people in expensive properties to pay a bit more. Next year, we are taking £150 off of everyone's bills, whether you're a pensioner or somebody that goes out to work every day. And I recognise that the cost of living is still people's biggest concern.
Net migration to the UK has fallen to its lowest level since 2021. The Office for National Statistics says the figure stood at 204,000 in the year to June. That's down from 649,000, a drop of 69% from the year before. The drop's been put down to, in part, fewer people arriving here for work or to study from outside of the EU. The United States has stopped processing immigration requests from Afghan nationals after two National Guard soldiers were shot in Washington, D.C. The victims are in a critical condition. President Trump says his officials are confident the suspected attacker, who's been detained, entered the U.S. from Afghanistan in 2021.
We're not going to put up with these kind of assaults on law and order by people who shouldn't even be in our country. We must now re-examine every single alien who has entered our country from Afghanistan under Biden, and we must take all necessary measures to ensure the removal of any alien from any country who does not belong here.
More than 50 people are now known to have been killed in a fire in a block of flats in Hong Kong. Hundreds of others are still missing. Officials have announced a criminal investigation is now underway. And a panel of experts are expected to decide later whether to recommend a screening programme for prostate cancer in the UK. The advice will be considered by the government. Former Prime Minister Lord Cameron is among those calling for men to be checked for the disease. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was down 20 at 96.71. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.14. LBC weather, rain developing across northern and western areas, cloudy but dry elsewhere, a high of 13 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
That there is a great night's sleep. And when Susan wakes up, she's going to get to enjoy a delicious unlimited breakfast. Or, if that super comfy bed is just too hard to leave, Susan can enjoy a midday checkout. Get better sleep for your money. Book now at Premier Inn. Breakfast subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Sorry, you've interrupted a staff meeting. I'll be with you imminently. Keith, remember when we had the I told you so tin? Was that just for Brexit stuff, or could we rattle the I told you? Because I know Keith nearly retired early. I had to put so much money in the I told you so tin in the aftermath of Brexit. Was it for other stuff as well, or was it just for Brexit? It's just for Brexit, wasn't it? Because I'm afraid I'm reaching for the I told you so button again today with news that net migration has just come down to 204,000. Count them. 204,000. I mean, the word is plummeting, and I told you that this was going to happen. It wasn't a particularly perspicacious contribution to our conversations, because the evidence has been there throughout. I'll leave you to decide why it is so completely and roundly ignored by everybody who professes to be profoundly concerned about immigration. It's coming down at a rate of knots, and spoiler alert, it's going to come down further. Please don't mention that the Office of Budget Responsibility estimates that we lose about £7 billion in taxes with every 100,000 person drop in net migration. I'll say that again. If migration drops by 100,000, the Office of Budgetary Responsibility estimates that we lose about £7 billion in taxes. Because most people who come here from other countries work very hard. So, if you were to add that to today's ludicrous rhetoric about the two-child benefit cap, losing 100,000 migrants costs two child benefit cap abolitions, two and a bit child benefit cap abolitions. So if you're being encouraged today, and people work very hard to encourage you to be ignorant and furious at the same time, and it's not your fault you're ignorant, it's the job of people who get paid to give you the facts, that's why you're ignorant. So if you were being encouraged today to get very, very furious about the abolition of the two-child benefit cap, you should be, by rights, two and a bit times as furious about every 100,000 drop in net migration. This isn't an opinion, this is counting. How many of the people telling you today to be furious about the cut to the abolition of the two-child benefit cap would also encourage you to be furious about a drop in immigration, a drop in net migration? I'll just leave that hanging, because we have become, my friends, a ludicrous country. We have become a ludicrous population, a truly ludicrous society. When Logan Roy turned to his own children as they battled over the inheritance of his media empire in the superlative television drama Succession and said, "You are not serious people." He was Welsh by way of East Anglia. You are not serious people. That is what we have become. And it's not our fault. It is the fault... Was he playing an American? No, he was playing a Scot. He was still... Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not great at accent. You're not serious people. It's not our fault that this has happened. I joked yesterday that two of the men paid for their opinions about budgets would be paid for their opinions about budgets today, despite the fact that... And I think this is important. If it's a bit of a hobby horse of mine and you don't find it interesting or relevant, then do let me know so that I can take your... thoughts on board. I messaged yesterday these two men in 2022 when commenting upon the Truss and Kwarteng apocalypse wrote, "The best budget I have ever heard a British Chancellor deliver." That was someone called Alistair Heath at the Telegraph. Alex Brummer at the Daily Mail wrote, "Seismic, a genuine Tory package elbowing to one side the Treasury's fiscal conservatism." So you go back to September 22, when, by any account, the single worst budget or mini-budget in the history of our islands was greeted with unalloyed glee by men who are paid for their analysis and opinions. And fast forward to November 2025, and guess what? They're still getting paid. So how much weight would you set by the opinions of men who thought that Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng were economic visionaries possessed of a genius not seen since the times of Ptolemy? Because that's what you're expected to do. And listen, don't tell anyone, but an awful lot of people who do what I do for a living don't have any original thoughts of their own. They wait to see what the Daily Mail and the Daily Telegraph are doing and then just regurgitate that to you over the airwaves every morning. So here are those men who thought that Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng were economic visionaries, geniuses, the likes of which we only see once every 200 generations. Here they are on Rachel Reeves. First up, Alex Brummer at the Daily Mail. "She's found an orchard of magic money trees that will speed up the UK doom loop." Who wouldn't take him seriously, given his absolutely crystal clear analysis of Kwarteng and Truss? And Alistair Heath... Oh, come on then, Keith. Let's get the unhinged headline out of the archives. We haven't used it for a while, and I miss it. Do you miss it? Go on.
Unhinged headline.
Britain is now in the grip of full-blooded socialism. That's the editor of the Sunday Telegraph listening to the same budget you listened to and concluding that private enterprise was abolished. That everything is now in the arms and the ownership of the workers. Every company operating in this country, from Morrison's to Mercedes-Benz, actually I'm not sure they do operate in this country, but anyway, all the factories, they're now owned by the workers. The means of production, it's all owned by the workers. Don't take my word for it, Alistair Heath is absolutely adamant. The country is in the grip of full-blooded socialism, and those people get paid to inform political discourse. And some people just suck it up without even pausing to breathe and regurgitate it to you. So what are we supposed to regurgitate today? Taxes have had to go up because of austerity, Brexit and Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson being in charge during COVID, which made everything worse, everything more expensive and caused tens of thousands more deaths than we needed to endure.